Spike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WJFK, 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW, 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
We could start the show, but I think we should really wait for the drinks to arrive. The beverages should be here before we... mine are here. My specialty beverage isn't here, but my normal is. So I think you got shortchanged in the beverage department today, unfortunately.
You did.
And not drinks, just, you know, my soda pop.
Sure,
soda can't do a show without your soda.
Refreshing beverage.
And I have every thought that'll be here very soon.
And what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week?
Last time,
I hate to blame anybody, but where's Joe?
I'm sure he's getting the drink.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe's on a roll.
All right, so we'll just wait for Joe, even though... And incidentally...
Well, see, I added a beverage to it the last minute, so Joe not being in here, I take responsibility over...
No.
Because I ordered up a Code Red.
This is off the record, incidentally, since the door has it open.
Right. That's not a drug reference either, a Code Red.
Uh-huh. You should know it's in Joe's job description that the drinks are to be in
the
studio.
Table.
On the table, yeah.
Right.
Dinner on the table. It says the drinks are supposed to be in here.
Exactly.
5 minutes.
Right.
Post. Show.
That's right.
Pre-show. I'm sorry. Pre-show. 5 minutes pre-show.
And Code Red also not a reference to menstruation. Menstruation.
Hey!
The beverages arrive.
When it comes to that,
it's just like at home. That's what I say to my room service waiter. I say, I want dinner on the table.
All right.
That's refreshing.
And look how excited Rob's fans are.
Oh, get them out of here. They just disgust me. Get out.
Here he is.
Yeah, where were they on Friday?
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Grand Theft Auto and all the ships at sea.
Thank you. You know, they won't let the kids down. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Monday. February 11th.
All right.
Here's your phone numbers for instant access from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. Washington, D.C., our home station. WJFK 202-432-1067. And New York on WNEW, call 877-692-1027. I had a weekend full of stuff that I must purge with you today.
You feel a need to purge?
Yeah. Wow, I got some stuff to get out of my system.
You have some stuff you want to clear the air about?
Yeah, I do. Not all of it bad. A lot of it good. All of it good. Just some of it not so great.
Yeah.
I know that Rob has something to tell us all that really is not great.
And I do, too.
Oh, do you really?
Yes, I do.
Well,
I had a bit of weekend that I think. Well, you think you know a little bit of it. You don't know the whole thing, though.
Yeah, I mean, we're all over the place on today's show. We got to go to that queer bar tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think I'm probably, based on my weekend, I'll
be more comfortable doing that than any of you
tonight. Join your friends, Gay Don and Gay Mike, as they, I'm reading the card now, as they pay off their wet bet and get wet tonight.
No. I hate that. Get wet. What does that mean?
And pay off their bet this Monday. Gay Don, Gay Mike, and the rest of the Gay Gunnerballs will be at the Gay Wet Club. Come, share in their gay fun. We will be there at 8 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, when the sun's down.
We will be there for approximately 30 minutes to fulfill our bets.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
We, in fact, will bring a tape recorder with us.
Good.
You'll hear all about it on tomorrow's show. You know, these are the gay guys that we went bowling against. The deal was, if they beat us, we'd go to this gay club. If we beat them, we'd take them to a strip club.
Right.
Shock. We got beat by the homos. Mm. We're going to the gay club tonight. I am bringing my wife.
Good move.
That is strictly a buffer move that my wife is always clamoring to come to some event.
You pick the right one for her.
She's always wondering about the great times that I'm having when she's not there. Mm-hmm. So,
has she expressed a curiosity? I would think that she would be coming along because there might be some level of curiosity.
Oh, listen, I want to tell you something. Not only has she expressed a level of curiosity about this,
yes,
but she has told me that one of these weekends, she and a female friend of hers, just for snicks, mm-hmm. are going to go to some of the lesbo bars in New York.
I knew that there would be part support for you, and I knew that there would probably be a natural curiosity on the part of your wife for the alternative lifestyles.
So the weekend goes like this, and it kind of involves my wife. It all involves my wife. The Friday revolves around my wife. The deal is that, you know, we stayed in New York an extra day last week. We were there on Friday. We normally come back to D.C. on Friday. We were in New York on Friday.
Right.
As we will be for the next couple of weeks. More on that later. And she came up on Friday, and the deal was going to be this, that because we were invited to a party on Saturday night, that there has to be one night of the week, you know, and she and I have worked this out. There got to be one night of the week just for she and I.
Uh-huh.
And there's one night of the week for the family, and then that leaves me one night of the weekday. So if you got the three nights on the weekend, you got Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, I got one night that's just with Frida, one night that's with Frida and the boy,
mm-hmm.
and one night when I can be my most comfortable, when I can simply be alone.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Sounds like a plan.
Oh, you. So, but no, these are Mike, how do you keep a marriage together after 20 years?
Yeah,
this is how you do it. These are the compromises.
Yeah, I suppose that's what it is. Maybe if I'd learned those compromises earlier, I would have been able to keep it together.
That is not what I meant.
Let me say to all of you today, okay, I'm a sensitive lad today. I am a very sensitive lad. You know, people ask you, today's one of those days where people are asking me how I am, and this is one of those days where I'm answering. Even Tim McWilliams came down and sat down in the office with me. Wow. That's how bad it is today. Tim McWilliams said, "How you doing?" And I gave him a look that caused Tim McWilliams to come into the office and sit down with me.
Well, that was not a dig at you.
I know. I'm very, it's not envious. It's kind of just, now I look with a more observant eye on all of you long-termers, as you will be henceforth called.
Well, let me say that, that as I've said before,
vodka is great.
It definitely has its upside, but at one point, I will tell you, at one point yesterday afternoon, I did get in the car by myself and screamed.
Oh, wow.
Because I had, well, I'll get to that in a second. I'll get to that in a, just, because it was too much.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. So Frida comes up to New York on Friday, and what I've said to her is, on Friday, no matter what you want to do,
right,
you're the boss.
Uh-huh.
You're the king.
Good idea.
I can say that nobody was looking forward to their Friday night more than you.
You want to go to the Museum of Modern Art?
Mm-hmm.
I'm there. Furthermore, I've done some research. I found the name of a vegetarian restaurant.
Mm.
You want to go there? We're going there. You want to go out for one of your fancy aperitif drinks after we have dinner?
Right.
You're there. You want to take the goddamn touristy horse ride through Central Park?
Mm-hmm.
I'm there.
Yeah. There.
So, as it turns out, and I didn't mention this to my child bride, Friday, as it turned out, was a very long day for me.
Mm-hmm.
I got up and I had a breakfast meeting.
Yeah.
Very early in the morning.
Yes, you did.
Then went to work. We did the show.
I mean, Friday was a tired day for everybody, but in your case, you did get up at the crack of dawn, and you had your day in front of you spelled out, which was it was a long day.
So she, I got back to the apartment after the show on Friday, and she was there, and immediately, now I don't want to. The last thing she wants to hear is, "Oh, Christ, am I tired?"
Right?
Because we've set this thing up. So what we do is we decide. I say to her, "What would you like to do?"
Mm-hmm.
And she says, "Well, I'll give you two options. We can either go to the the crazy Guggenheim Museum, or
hey, Mr. Dunny,
or we can go shopping before we go out to the vegetarian restaurant."
Oh, so you now you gave yourself an option there. I would think, yeah, just in my mind, the option of shopping compared to going to the museum would be A-OK. Would be just ducky.
You would think that.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that. Mm-hmm. However, now keep in mind, my wife, she could be in the Olympics. She is a world-class athlete. She, when she walks, she doesn't walk, she power walks.
Uh-huh.
She virtually runs everywhere she goes. So we take a cab up by where she wants to go to some stores.
Right.
And then I realize what it's going to be is it's going to be 3 hours of walking around, walking from store to store to store with her.
Just more evidence to me that this is the woman I should be with.
So we
the fast walking.
Sure. And at one point she turns around and I'm like about 20 paces behind on the sidewalk. She turns around and she goes, "Come on." And I say to her, "I'm walking as fast as I can."
Whenever we're walking anywhere, like through airports or something, you, Rob, and Lisa, you go at this speed.
Sorry.
You are not fast walking. I think it has nothing to do with athletics as much as there are two schools of thought. There are fast walkers, mm-hmm, people that want to get there, and then there are slow walkers.
So we go to these stores, and we go to all the fancy stores. We go to the stores where, the stuff absolutely outrageously expensive that we'll never buy in a million years.
So you didn't have to go to the museum?
No, but the stores were as bad.
Oh, really?
Because,
because they were all her stores.
Yeah, and you get dragged into the store, and it's like, well, look, what do you think of this purse?
Okay.
This purse looks like that purse. What do you think of these shoes? Well, these shoes are, those shoes look like those shoes. These are my shoes. But what do you think of this? Well, what do you think of this? Yeah. So we go through this thing for about 3 hours, and we're walking, and we're walking, and we're walking, and finally I'm checking my watch, and it's like, it's 6:30. Let's get a cab. Let's go to the vegetarian restaurant. We go to the vegetarian restaurant. Again, I'm doing this to make my honey happy.
Right.
We walk in, and I've got to say, I'm going to give the restaurant a plug. The name of the restaurant is Melissa Blue, and I'm going to give them a plug because it was a meal that I had been dreading.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because it is supposedly one of the best vegetarian restaurants in America.
Right.
The food kicked ass.
That doesn't surprise me.
I was able to find food that I enjoyed, like they called it Mexican lasagna, and who knows what kind of non-animal innards or...
You probably had your pasta.
Yeah.
You had your cheese.
You had that available, and she couldn't have been happier. And sitting at the table directly next to us was one of the Golden Girls.
Wow.
And I was too excited about this. What I wanted to do was actually pick up the cell phone and call. Well, Rob was the first person that came to mind,
right,
to call to actually say, right, to the Golden Girl, "Excuse me, Golden Girl, would you say hello to my friend Rob A?"
Right.
So Frida says to me, we're sitting across each other's table. She says, would you tone it down? I mean, would you turn down the volume about a million on this whole thing that, that there's a Golden Girl sitting next to us? And I said, okay. She said, why don't you go outside, call your friends, tell your friends, and then come back inside and just drop it. So we go outside. I call Rob.
Yeah, it's great.
I call Mike.
It was wonderful news.
I say, yeah, that's right. It's Rue McClanahan.
Oh.
It's the sexy one.
Wow.
That's right. It's the hot one.
It is, though, man. I mean, if you're going to talk about, you know, Beatrice Arthur, they make a lot of jokes about B. Arthur, but I'll tell you something. Rue McClanahan is, I think, the most joked about Golden Girl with her. Is, how is that flat pancake face of hers?
It's flatter than ever.
I bet she is lovely.
And I understand, I guess she's had some kind of medical issues or something.
Oh, has she really? Well,
yeah,
sorry.
She's had some kind of, maybe she had the big C or
oh,
something.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm
yeah.
sorry to hear that. But she looked well?
Yeah, well, you know, she looked all right.
In my fantasy, she was wearing some sort of long, flowy outfit. What was she wearing?
Did she have a hat?
No hat. An outrageous hat?
Did she have a wrap?
She had like a scarf around her neck, and she had on
not a scarf around her face.
Yeah, a red outfit on, and I will say this though, about
crotchless.
Yes, Rob, crotchless, and also cheekless in the back.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Just like Greta Garbo.
She
cigarette holder.
She definitely ran the risk though of somebody doing something to her food.
Uh-oh.
Because she sent back. Two items.
Wow, that's not good.
Two items, and I don't care if you're, you know, I mean, and come on, she's one of the Golden Girls,
yeah.
So she's a...
This eggplant pierogi is not done the way I wish.
She has two items I would never send back.
Gross.
And they come by when they take the first item away, and you can tell that the waiter's not pissed. But then when they brought her the second item...
Right.
And she asked for that to be returned.
Take it away.
I immediately knew. I said to Frida, I said, you know what? There's either boogers or spit.
Take
or,
it away.
Or like number three.
Take it away now.
Being put in there.
Oh, right.
So and then we get done with dinner and we went out to a bar where we had a drink, and it was a very nice evening, exactly as advertised with my wife on Friday night, that it would be all about her. Now, Saturday.
You got to do that.
This is where it goes downhill a little bit Saturday. But, you know, I brag about the fact that if you drive to New York, you can make time just as quickly as you can take in the train, or perhaps even faster than the airplane.
Sometimes, yeah.
Well, we got up, we leave the city, we drive out, and...
I figured you'd fly back with a... I knew you were leaving very early, and I figured you'd have an incredible time.
We were on the New Jersey Turnpike at 8 a.m.
I would think that would be wide open.
It was clear sailing, speed limit 65. I set the cruise control like at 73, so you don't get pulled over by
right,
the cops.
Right.
I mean, things are great until we all of a sudden we get the sign says major accident ahead.
And you're still on the Jersey Pike?
Yeah, well, Route 95, the New Jersey.
You're on the New Jersey. You're on the one with the exits every 47 miles.
Right.
Two-lane road. You're dead.
Well,
I've been there.
Here's the deal. We get over the New Jersey line, right into Delaware. There's a brief spot where you go from New Jersey to Delaware to Maryland.
You're going to the Delaware Memorial Bridge.
Yes. And as a matter of fact,
had you reached the Memorial Bridge?
As we crossed the Delaware Memorial Bridge,
yeah,
the cops were there.
Ooh.
And what they were saying is, the road has been closed.
Wow. See, now I would have thought, when you were telling me this, I said, if you have an accident before the Delaware Memorial Bridge, you know, it's two lanes. It's two lanes for miles and miles. The fact that you got over the bridge, and that was, it was completely shut down?
Yeah, I don't know. I can only... Well,
the whole tray?
Listen, this is kind of awful. Frida got so mad at me for saying this. Well, somebody sure as hell better have died in this accident. Because for them to close down...
I would have... Did you have to get off on, like, 301 or something like that?
That's... Mike, you're a mind reader.
You have to understand, I have made this trip more times than anybody in this studio. I've made this trip hundreds of times.
We had the choice of taking Route 40
mm-hmm.
towards Baltimore.
Right.
Or taking 301.
301 towards
Annapolis and take
right.
the Bay Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So we took 301, and, you know, all that does is add, like, an hour and a half to the drive where you're on a...
Yeah, where you are, it's terrible.
You're on a two-lane road where the speed limit is 35, and you have some Amish buggy driver in front of you.
Once you get into Maryland, though, you can book, you can motor.
Yeah, except that they know that.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we crossed the state line into Maryland,
sure.
Thank God I didn't book and I didn't motor because
they're all over.
There
the
was like a barrage of a thousand state troopers with a speed gun.
I've always thought that kind of law enforcement. You're down there on Route 301 in Maryland, which is basically cornfields as far as the eye can see, and you can book down there, but they send their resources down there, Don. Why protect citizens that might be getting robbed or anything when you can send all that law enforcement down there to get the one car every half hour?
And they had one of them deals where they had like five cars where they were getting people going both ways. So, again, we had the cruise control. We're not speeding, but now it's become, and I've bragged so much about what an easy drive this is that now it's become now we've been in the car for over 5 hours and
it's tough.
And, we call OnStar and, OnStar can kiss my
tooth. Thank you for finally acknowledging the inefficiency of that service.
OnStar, totally worthless.
It's like, absolutely worthless.
Dial on to OnStar and they go, hello?
Morons, absolute morons.
We say to this OnStar lady, we say, hi, we just got diverted off the New Jersey Turnpike and the Delaware Bridge. Route 95 is closed and we're taking 301, but is there a better way? And she's like, and she says, I can't even find you.
Right.
Well, what's the use of having the goddamn OnStar thing in your car if they can't even locate where you are?
I've had that. When I had the first time I had OnStar in a car and I was so excited about it, and they let you down. They let you down. I was standing outside a hotel called OnStar. I was lost, and it turned out I went around the block. I was half a block from the hotel I was looking for, and OnStar?
I think you're about 4 miles away.
So we finally make it home, and we make it home 6 hours after we've left. So, I'm feeling the heat on that, that, hey, great idea to drive. Great, Mr. Open Road. Look, here we are. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We just got home. And we got to go to this party on Saturday night. Now, I have been warned by my wife about what I can and cannot say about this party that we went to, this Valentine's Day party that was thrown by very good friends of ours.
So you can't say anything about the sex, right?
I want to say that it was a Valentine's party like I had never been to before.
It's funny, when you start playing music, we haven't talked about this party, so it could be, when you play this music, it could be a party with very little life to it. It could be a party with, I'm thinking maybe old people that were near death. How was I?
Let me just say it. The only thing I'm going to say about this is that they had three beverages that they were serving.
Right.
You could either have a soda pop,
mm-hmm.
You could have a glass of champagne, or you could have a beaker full of embalming fluid. Wow.
There you go.
That's it. So we get to this party on Saturday night.
How are you?
And we walk in, and of course, every guy's got a...
there's the hotline, ladies and gentlemen. Uh-oh. The hotline is ringing.
I told you that's all I'd say.
You would like to have sex on Valentine's Day, wouldn't you?
I told you that would be all that I would say was the embalming fluid thing. I told you that would be it.
Sorry, you're just not used to the big boy party. You like the parties where, you and... never mind.
When she's not finding the words, she's upset.
Now, come on, honey, I told you that that's all I would say.
All right, my darling.
All right, sweetie, love you. But I am going to talk about what Bunny and I did, though.
If you want to talk about how you're a big jerk, that's that's always permissible.
All right, well, then that's how I will continue the conversation.
All right, I'll be listening.
I know you will, and I love you. Call back. Listen, call back and tell me if you know what? If I'm not doing something right, call me and tell me.
What a novel idea. Okay.
Or why don't you just stay on the line while I describe?
And
you
know what? That's all right.
If I'm saying something that you consider out of line...
No, I don't want to be a party. A bad sell. It's a bad sell.
All right. Bye, honey. All right. So we get to this party.
Right.
And,
I'm sorry. Now, that's me. I'm sorry. I shouldn't fuel the fire.
Now, knock it off, because I promise I wouldn't do this.
I understand that.
So,
Lord knows I don't have good judgment in those areas.
As it turns out, our neighbor, Bunny... came with us to the party. So at one point, Bunny and I were sitting in a, you know, you split up with a party, you go to different parts of the house, and at one point I walked into one of the rooms, and there was Bunny sitting there mm-hmm. talking to some people, and I went over and I sat by her, and we were discussing the party, and there were some other people there. God, I wish I could really tell you what was really going on. It'll piss my wife off, and she's right. The people who threw the party were good friends of ours, but suffice to say that we were sitting with people a little out of the demo.
You are chomping.
Okay. So they're discussing their kids getting into colleges.
Normal party discussion, I would think.
Right. At one point, I'm sitting next to my neighbor, Bunny. Frieda's in the other room talking, and they say, do you have children? And I say, yes. I have a son, and she says, as do I. And the guy says to me, oh, are you married? And I said, yes, we are. Yes, we are. How old are the boys? And I said, they are they're the same age. They are 16, going on 17. Mm-hmm. Really? Now,
next question, twins?
Now, at this point, Bunny is not really playing along. And I say, they are conjoined.
Oh.
They are conjoined.
Well, that's fun.
They are conjoined twins. And then she says, no. She goes, no, stop it. That's not what, no.
Right.
No, she says, listen, I'm the neighbor.
Right.
I live on the same street. We both have sons that are the same age, but they're friends. We're not married. You know, his wife's in the other room. I'm just the friend. So they go, okay. Now they're talking more about what schools their kids are going to be going to. And I said, they're discussing how, I guess one of the guys, his kid was like a star athlete or something and didn't get the football scholarship that he wanted. And
right.
I said, well, actually, I'll tell you something that has helped my son get recruited athletically from some real big-name schools is his club foot.
Oh, my God.
And
have you had a little champagne?
Sober as a judge.
Really? Just having fun?
Just bored.
Right. Looking for fun.
And they are all looking at me. They go, club foot? I said, yeah. You guys know who Tom Dempsey is, right? They go, yeah. I go, he's a guy for the New Orleans Saints who could kick the football 60 feet because right. they had 60 yards.
And you're giving them the wrong description of a club foot.
60 yards?
That's like more like half a foot.
I said that because he had half a foot.
Right.
I said, well, my son has a club foot.
Did you say he was a place kicker?
And because of that, he has a special shoe. And I mean, I said,
now, is anybody enjoying this show besides just you? I mean, are you the one that's really enjoying your, you're amusing yourself?
No. At this point, even Bunny's turned on me. And
right.
Like, wow. She can't get up and leave.
Right.
But I'm going on with this because I'm saying the field goal that Vinatieri made at the Super Bowl,
right,
I'm telling you, my kid with a club foot,
oh, no.
He can make this with his eyes closed.
Wow.
I said, and this is why your finest football powers, and I'm talking Nebraska, Miami, they're all coming after him.
Wait, you trying to talk the father and having his kid's toes removed or something? What's going on here?
So then Bunny gets up and leaves.
Bunny.
And I'm left by myself sitting there with these people, and eventually they all splatter off and into other groups, and I walk around the house and I come back later and I go back to the same area where I've had the discussion with the people about the conjoined twins and the club foot. And what I do is I sit down in a chair and I say to myself that I'm going to play a game now. I'm going to play a game where this is going to be the area of solitude. That what I'm going to do is attempt to give off a vibe. I'm sitting in a chair, and next to me are two other chairs, and there's two couches next to me on either side of me. I'm going to give off a vibe that says, don't even think about sitting next to me. So this is how I'm amusing myself at the party, because people would come in the room, and I would just sit there with my legs crossed. Now, and I'm the only guy without a suit and tie on. I'm
right.
Like I am today. You know, I got on, you know, big boy pants and hard shoes, but I got a sweater and a shirt on. And I would just sit there and
basic bank teller.
Fold my arms and simply look at people. Mm-hmm. And they would come in, and it was in, like, intimidation corner. The people would...
You weren't happy to be at this party.
I was very... Mike, no. I disagree.
It's this weird behavior, though.
I was happy because I was playing all these games.
You're just amusing yourself.
Yeah, I mean, there was...
These weren't people you wanted to hang with.
Well, let me just say this. Of the maybe 60 people who that were at this party...
Yes.
I knew six.
Okay.
Okay, so, like, I didn't know anybody.
That's
there,
rough.
So it was fine. So finally, this one couple that had been sitting through the conjoined twins and the Clubfoot story, they came over and they sat down. And I said...
Now, at any point did you... You fess up at all, or did you just, I mean, did you have the story end where they went away thinking your son indeed had a club foot?
No, Bunny, when she got up to leave, she said he's been lying about everything, you know.
Okay, good.
Of course, we're not married.
All right, so you're in the clear, and were they amused at all by this?
No. They were not. So this one couple comes over, a younger couple, a couple our age, rather artsy-fartsy looking, and they come and they sit down on the couch, and I said, well, congratulations for being the first two to make it through to the corner of solitude. I said, I have been sitting here for about 15 minutes wondering who would be brave enough to come over and sit down. So at this point, I'm making conversation with these people, right?
Wonderful.
And the lady turns and she says, this sofa, the love seat is that's in between, she goes, this is just marvelous. Look at the color on that. That's beautiful. Do you have any idea where they may have gotten that? That's so beautiful. And I said, yeah, I think they got it at Value City. As soon as I announced that, they got up and they walked away.
Really?
They walked away.
Not amused.
They didn't think it was funny.
You are making yourself laugh all over the place.
Oh, my God. You know, for being what I wouldn't rate a 10 party, I had like a 10 time and I didn't even drink.
Excellent.
I had like one glass of champagne.
Sounds to me like everything fits in the I don't care. I don't care when you have that attitude with people, it can be amusing.
Yeah. And at one point I went out in the kitchen and I found Frieda and I said, do you mind if I go out to the car and smoke? And she said, no, go ahead. So I went out to the car.
Had a stogie.
Had my cigar there, you know, turn up my... my Beach Boys CD, and for about 30 minutes, I just sat outside.
Sad.
Sat outside.
That is a little sad. I know you were happy, but it's just picturing you there as the party's going on, and you're sitting there at
10 o'clock
smoking a cigar.
And, I mean, they've got the place done up. I mean, they've got the gigantic heart flag out front of their house, and they've got the balloons, and they've done an exquisite job of catering this thing, and I'm sitting outside, you know, picking my nose.
They have good food?
Yeah, the food was outstanding.
Good.
I had no complaints with the food. A great dessert tray. Everything was great. Finally, it was time to leave. I gathered my two wives together, you know, and you can't just leave. Now, the thing is, I've been sitting outside having this cigar, and I'm watching the parade of people that are leaving this party. It's like at 10 o'clock. It's like everybody starts leaving. The parties have been going on for 3 hours, and it seems to be the natural time that people are leaving. So I go back in, and I gather them together, and I say, girls, let's beat it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's time to clear out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not easy, and it's tougher with two wives than with one, because
yes.
as I finally get Frieda ready, after Frieda says goodbye to all the people that she knows and all the new friends that she made, I've lost Bunny. So I have to go find Bunny to get Bunny. And then as soon as I find Bunny, I say, great, are you ready to go? She says, yes.
Right.
Then I go over and Frida's off saying goodbye to somebody else. So it was, let me just say that the party was one to remember. And I have stuff that I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
That will crystallize.
Mm-hmm. No, I got a general idea. I'd like to hear that, though.
Let me just tell you. I want to write down just one thing.
Okay.
Because
I think I have a theory as to why you would be amusing yourself that way at this party.
All right. Now, first, do you know the father in this movie?
Yeah. I mean, I can't say, but I know who you're talking about. Yeah, okay.
Right, okay.
Well, you lied to
me. Okay, watch it.
I'm sorry.
Watch it.
Okay.
Hold on.
Now.
He was wearing this and announced that he had this.
Wow. I can't wait to see this.
He's wearing this.
Right.
And he announced he had this.
Well, that's fun. Did he announce, I don't want to get in trouble. Did he announce that because he was feeling no pain? Or did he announce it because he was just a little out of it?
Oh, when we were discussing our sons.
Ah, okay.
Sons that were, you know, getting these football scholarships.
Wow. That's incredible that he dove right into that subject.
He did. Well, I mean, take a look at the guy and you would think, how is that, you know, how is that possible?
Boy, it sounds like an interesting party, at least.
It was quite interesting.
Not so interesting that you didn't go out to the car and smoke for an hour.
Yeah. So we get done with that obligation, and it was a nice time. I want to say thank you to our hosts, and I hope, honey, listen, call back if I've said anything that's wrong. At this point, I think she's...
I think you've done a fine job.
She's not called, so we're covered. Sunday. Now, Sunday was going to be the family day. If Sunday was the family day, I had a great time, played ball with my kid outside. You know, my kid, incidentally, who now is 6'2",
big boy.
When we play basketball now, it's not even fair. It's not even fair. The score, and you know, I'm no athlete to begin with, but I mean, it's embarrassing now to play ball.
Well, he's not only gotten big, but he's, you know, you got a little age factor there, you know.
Yeah, and you know, it's like the score's 21-6 and 21-8. And it's
he toy with you now?
Yeah, it's the point where I get the ball and he says, go ahead, Dad, just try to shoot. just try. So that's great. And then we decide that we're going to go to a movie. And because it is, it's my turn to choose, I choose the Arnold movie.
Of course you do. I wouldn't expect anything less.
And my wife...
Collateral Damage.
My wife, being the trooper that she is, because, you know, we've done everything that she wants, we go to see the Arnold movie. I want to tell you something. Dig this.
Yeah.
My wife loves Collateral Damage.
Collateral Damage has gotten better reviews than most Arnold movies have gotten.
It is the most disappointing Arnold Schwarzenegger movie I have ever seen, and I will tell you why. He has maybe 30 lines of dialogue.
Yeah, see, they know the formula. That's why it's getting good reviews.
What they have done is they have taken out all the times that Arnold speaks.
Sure. Now, that's the secret to making a... That's the kind of Arnold movie I'll watch.
It's like... And
what do you think? May I enlighten you? Remember Terminator? Remember that?
Yeah, but when I go, I want him to say, you know...
I know.
Hey, light bulb. you know, I want all the dumb catchphrases. I want the, you know, your leather.
Have you, you know, for somebody who does an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression, have you heard the guy on Mad TV that does the Arnold impression? The guy goes, I don't know. It's just, I mean, you know, Arnold's funny when he has dialogue because we can all make fun of him.
And there was no, and you know what else there wasn't in this? And obviously, you know, the plot of the movie is that a terrorist kills his wife and his son. You don't get the what I love in Arnold, like when he was Mr. Freeze.
Right.
You don't get that, where he's really angry, he's trying to show emotion.
Sure, exactly. So there's not a lot of acting from Arnold.
No. There's a lot of Arnold being spooky and his eyes going from one direction to the next.
Dear guys, dear, I'm looking at you. Dongersheim.
Your husband killed my wife and son. You know, there's like stuff like that. Yeah. Nothing you can laugh at.
And not a lot of dialogue.
No, and the movie itself is actually quite good, quite well done.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
So I'm disappointed with the movie, and we're walking out of the theater, and by now it's yesterday afternoon, and it's like 4 o'clock, 4:30, and I'm dead ass tired. You know, we had Friday and the drive back Saturday and the party Sunday, and we've gone to the movie and we're walking out of the movie theater, and my wife says, let's stop at this little, we're at the Reston Town Center, and she says, let's stop at this coffee place and let's get a cup of coffee. Let's all sit and have a cup of coffee. And it was at that point that I started to unravel a little bit, and I said, oh, just like that. I just said, oh,
home, James.
She said, what's the problem? I said, can't we just go home? She said, today's the family day. Today is the family day. I want to have a coffee. Bart wants to have a coffee. I said, well, I don't want to have a coffee. She said, well, it's the family day. So I stood there for a second moping, and then she said, she ordered me. She said, you go get the car. You walk around to the garage, you get the car, we'll sit here and enjoy our coffee, and then you pull up and you pick us up and we can go home. And I went, that's great. And it was at that point, seriously, that I in the third level of the parking garage at the Reston Town Center.
Did you light a cigar?
I got into the car, and I turned the car on, and I really
just screamed. I just, for no reason, I mean, it was too much.
You needed to.
Overload? It was the Friday morning meeting with the guy with the thing, and then doing the show Friday, then going the shopping on Friday afternoon, and walking for 500 miles through New York City, and the vegetarian restaurant, and the aperitif, then the 6-hour drive on the way home, then the party at the funeral home, and then get my ass kissed by my kid playing basketball, and then going to the movies, and it was too. Too much, and I was in the car, and I just went, yeah! Really, like a mental patient.
Not a bad thing to do, get it all out of your system.
Like, I was just like, topped off.
Rob, is there a chance we could roll tape back on that last part? I've never quite heard the...
It was the weekend was too much for me.
Just hear that last part there. I think sometimes you don't hear it when you're doing it, and I think you'd enjoy it.
Just too much for me.
Here we go.
Got a reel number two?
Okay.
Okay.
Now you did it again. You did it some more.
A mental patient.
Not a bad thing to do. Get it all out of your system.
Like, I was just like.
Thank you. See, I remember that there were two phases of that.
By the time I pulled the car around to pick the family up, I was chilled out.
That's good.
Like, hi, family, get in.
And everything was fine.
Yeah, let's go home.
Let's go home, sure. Have a good time.
Why not?
Have all.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hello, Don and Mike.
What?
Who is this? Is this a little kid?
Sounds like.
Oh, man. Sonny, this one.
My kids are off of school this week, so maybe there's some kids that are also off of school.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello. Young man? Youngster? Okay.
The phone is not a toy.
Hey, kids.
Somebody dial 911 immediately.
The latchkey kids.
There's no one home. They're the latchkey kids.
Hey, kids. You know, this is pretty good, though. I really don't think they know we're listening to you.
I just picked up the request line.
Yeah.
And my room's all clean.
It's a phone off the hook.
Hello?
Hello? They didn't hang up. Like somebody's actually left the room.
They didn't hang up yet.
They're in another room. You can hear them in the distance.
How weird is that?
We should just leave it open.
Okay.
You know, you never know. Come back to it.
Okay. You don't believe.
Kids are in the backyard playing. The mailman comes over.
Or you get the bad parent coming. This room is not clean.
Christina.
Christopher.
Damn it.
Damn it. Well. Yeah. I got to move on, Mike. Sorry.
Okay.
Got to move on.
That's fine.
Got to move on. Yeah, it's fine.
Time.
So you know why? You know why the movie was good?
Why?
Because Arnold didn't speak.
No lines. That's how you make a Predator. Another great Arnold. One of my favorites. No dialogue from Arnold. Mm-hmm. Conan the Barbarian. Minimal dialogue from Arnold.
Right.
It's a formula.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello. You gotta let him speak.
You enjoy like Arnold Schwarzenegger movies.
Twins.
For in my opinion, the right reason. You will
Jingle All the Way.
Yeah. And you went to see Jingle All the Way in the theater.
Yeah.
And you enjoy the Arnold movies because the more dialogue, the more you enjoy it.
The better it is.
Junior.
Oh, Junior, why he's pregnant? That's maybe his best one ever.
Yeah, fine film.
Julius Benedict.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
I'm on here?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is for Don.
He's right here.
Don. I was looking at the web of the photos you had with the stars when you were bowling.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one photo of you, you were looking at this woman with a bathing suit on.
Oh, hey, yeah, my wife loves seeing that picture, incidentally.
Yeah, man, I mean, you look like, you were looking at the last piece of chicken at an all-you-can-eat buffet. I mean, it just looked creepy, man.
Well, we have certainly changed the policy of reviewing photographs that get on the Internet.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello?
Yeah. Oh, we got a break. You're the last call. Hello?
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
I was really peed out about the Olympics. I thought they really sucked. Channel 4 really... dropped the ball.
As the only, I believe, the only Olympic Winter Olympic supporter on the show, I'm afraid I can no longer mount a suitable defense after this weekend as to the content of the... If I had to look at ski moguls with the freestyle skiing where they do the little stupid-ass jumps one more time...
Hey, and how gay is the luge where basically you have two guys lying on top of each other?
Mm-hmm.
But I think what was the most exciting thing is for the opening ceremonies, they brought out the same writers that they used for the Macy's Parade. That same thrilling dialogue between Costas and Kerr.
And I think their ratings are going to show. It's just a sleep fest.
Will Jim McKay make it through the whole ceremony?
How old is Jim McKay?
80 now.
To the contrary.
The ratings are doing well?
The ratings are better than they've been in something like 10 or 15 years.
That's right.
Once again, I seem to like them when nobody else is watching.
Because the curling will start today.
Yeah.
Nice sweeping.
The curling. I saw them previewing that yesterday.
Curling.
You have guys with brooms.
Right.
Sweeping in front of, like, tea kettles.
They sweep in front of a kettle.
A rock. How queer is that?
They should do a split screen of that and Jim McKay breathing.
And Jim McKay, Mike.
That he is plasticky looking.
Scary.
How queer is that? And someone, get a better makeup artist for Katie Couric. I mean,
it's the elements.
Yeah, I know.
Out in the elements.
I know she's outside, and I know she's cold.
7 degrees or something.
We should hire her and everything, but, come on. Paint her up real nice.
Al Roker can wear a coat, though.
Yeah.
Al Roker can wear... Where'd she get those coats? I mean, really, those coats, you can make a good sale out of some of those coats.
The Tent Factory.
Hello, Mike. Are you there, Mike? Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, Don.
Hi.
I got a solution for your problem about you blowing up with your family this weekend.
Oh, no, listen. Please understand. I didn't blow up with my family. I had reached...
You're frustrated. I understand.
I reached a point when I just... I'm a guy that eventually, and whether it's my family or my coworkers or anybody, I need eventually just to be alone by myself for a little while. That's just the type of guy I am. But go ahead.
Or you could take some of Mike's old Paxil.
I think I have some left over. As a matter of fact, I think I've got quite a bit left over because I went off it so quickly.
No. I would not. And again, now I know Mike is fragile today, so I'm going to choose my words carefully.
Right.
Let me just say, I'm not effed up like he is. Thank you.
Well, did you get the deal?
Thank you. Goodbye, my friend.
Very sensitive.
Sell the packs on eBay.
Very funny, Rob. Very, very funny.
Michael,
I think she probably will. That's what made it funny. See? See how we did that?
Clear them out. There are the phone lines. Let's get a call 100. Because I know that I was not the only one that enjoyed a weekend. I do know that Mike enjoyed a weekend, and I know that Rob did not enjoy his weekend.
I will tell you that I will live up to an old nickname, more so than I ever have before.
Oh, Johnny Fagola.
Yeah, big time.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, huge. Phone number 877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller right now. Good luck, okay?
JFK's.
Oop.
Joe!
Joe! God damn you, Joe. Is this the cartridge that was bad? Is that why?
That would be my guess.
Why it simply was never fixed. It just has a little X on it.
I guess that means it's bad. There, now it's fixed.
There. Well, okay, we call 100. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And in my club, I will splash the pot whenever the f*** I please.
You're listening to them right now. Don and Mike.
I was going to call number 100, okay? Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, I'm calling number 100. How you doing?
What's your name, my friend?
I'm Ken from New Jersey.
Ken, here you go. You've won the Super Troopers prize pack. Don't miss the hilarious new film about cops, crime, and killing time in theaters.
Is that what it is?
No. I guess there was a, excuse me, there's a period there.
I see.
Cops, crime, and killing time.
Yes.
In theaters on February 15th.
I see they probably wouldn't like that, Reed. Killing time in theaters.
I like it.
Me indicate that it'd be somewhat of a watch checker of a movie.
Cops, crime, and killing time in theaters on February 15th.
Or
it's,
so.
It's their highway, you're just driving on it. Thank you for listening, my friend.
All right, great, thanks.
Hold on just a second. Hey, Rob, do me a favor.
Sure.
Because, hit that number for me real quick.
Which one?
Just pick up 7. Just... whatever that number is, just get it. Just get it for me.
Okay.
I don't know my wife's new cell phone number. Oh, and also want to mention,
I got it right here.
All of our
joking.
All of our winners now get their official Don and Mike refrigerator magnets.
Ah.
Don and Mike bowling pin refrigerator magnets.
Look at that. They are absolutely wonderful.
I am holding the WJFK variety. Uh-huh. For those of you in New York, you'll be getting the bowling pin magnets with the WNEW logo on them.
I think they're just dreaming.
Cool. Yes, they I believe that they've actually priced out at a quarter of a cent each.
Worth it.
But you could slap them on anything that's money metal, and, boy, is that a good-looking giveaway. As you can see, Buzz, there you go. I've got them on my mic stand.
It's beautiful. They stick.
There you go.
I want some, too.
Well, that's great, because we've only got about 1 million of them. That's replacing the key tag. The famous Dynamite key tags we've given away for a while.
Tag.
Yeah. So now, there you go.
Very good. Those are snazzy.
They are. As snazzy as, you know what?
That's exactly
that's the perfect adjective right there. Snazzy. Refrigerator magnets.
Hello?
Honey.
Yes?
I got some refrigerator magnets. I forgot to tell you. Great news.
They're in the shape of a bowling pin.
Great news. New refrigerator magnets. Who says Infinity doesn't support the show?
Oh, Sugar Bear, I got bad news for you.
What's that?
You know our fancy refrigerator?
Yeah.
It's not magnetic. I mean, it's not, they won't stick to it.
Oh, my God.
That's not stainless steel?
I've tried to stick things on the front before, and it looks like stainless steel, but it doesn't, magnets don't stick to it.
That was just at your house. I think it's some sort of a Romulan alloy.
It's liquid mercury.
So anyway, honey.
It's to keep people from being too white trashy with their refrigerator.
Uh-huh. Honey, two things very quickly, and then I promise I will move on. First, I covered the party to your satisfaction.
No, you did not. Thank you. But I listened to a CD, and I kept in my own little Zen zone, and I pretended Eric Clapton was my husband, not you.
Well, how do you know that I didn't cover it correctly if you listened to the CD?
Because I would peek back in every once in a while and decide if I was leaving Eric for you. And good news for him, he is my imaginary husband still.
All right, well, listen, I'm done talking about the party. Here's the question I have for you tonight. You do definitely want to come to the bar wet with us, right?
Yeah, I would like to see that.
And are we bringing...
Unless you think I'll, you know, cramp your style.
No. And are you coming? Is Bunny coming?
I don't know. I haven't confirmed yet.
And you should also know that I've received word from New York that when you go to the lesbian bar in New York, you should go to Meow Mix.
Meow Mix. I read about that.
Meow, 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 meow.
That's in my book. That's in my Zagat's guide.
Meow Mix is the best lesbo bar in New York City. And the one thing that I forgot to mention about this weekend, and I am quite proud of this, and Mike, I know you love it when I discuss this.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that my wife rode the baloney pony. How many times, honey? You tell him.
It was twice in a row. I don't think that's like a world record.
But for me, twice.
Way to go, yeah, stud.
For a middle-aged man,
twice.
That wasn't too bad.
Way to go.
And I'm not talking about like with an hour in between. Mm. I'm talking like, you know,
incredible.
Boom, 5 minutes in between.
You should be very proud of yourself.
5 minutes in between.
Very good.
All right. Love you, sweetie.
I love you, my darling. Goodbye.
All right. I love you, too. Bye-bye. She's still pissed about the party.
We got through that part of the show. All right. There we go.
Sorry. What?
No, the part where you talk about sex always disturbs me. Always bothers me when you talk about your...
I'm proud.
...erectile function.
I'm proud.
I know. Be proud.
Twice. You know, normally I'm a one-time guy. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of the fact that, you know, that
sure, why not?
We got done, and I said, hey. I said, hey. Look at this.
Yeah.
Look at this. Wow. Someone's not sleeping. Wow, let's go for two.
Wow.
Let's try this.
That's great.
Try this baby on.
Okay.
Try it on.
All right, you.
And I'll tell you, if you're keeping score at home, that would be as far as completion.
Yeah.
Even though... I gave my wife the high hard one twice within like 20 minutes. I hit two home runs. Still, sadly, I believe she went hitless.
Well, that's too bad. That's not anything you're not accustomed to.
That's her cross to bear.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
She sounded happy with it, though.
Even the second time. I'm sorry, I just can't last.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I just can't last.
It was amazing.
I can't. Well, she's hot.
Yeah.
You know, I said that to her as a compliment. Jesus Christ,
it's a compliment.
You know, if you weren't so hot, I wouldn't finish so fast. Mm-hmm. If I married an uglier woman, maybe I'd be able to have sex with you longer.
All right, can you talk a little more about how great your effing marriage is? Just a little bit longer? Just a little bit longer today?
Can we
go on with that a little bit more? You've never gone on like this. It's driving me nuts.
I have gone on like this before talking about...
It's driving me nuts.
I have gone on like this before about banging my wife. When I've
times in a row and all that stuff. I'm happy for you, okay? I'm trying, man.
But hold on.
I'm doing the work. I'm baby stepping.
But hold on. This has nothing to do with you. I know that there have been times before that I have talked about banging my wife, and on the times when I can bang her more than once, I'm happy.
And you know, even when everything was fine and ducky with me, it's you know, hearing you talk about your literal ups and downs is always makes me a little squeamish.
Yeah,
probably makes the other guys squeamish too. They just wouldn't tell you.
Did you make you squeamish, Buzz?
I actually don't mind hearing about it.
Yeah, he's lying. But anyway. But I don't know how Rob feels about it. I know Rob gets uncomfortable when you say, hey, Rob.
Yeah, well, we all.
Come here and feel this.
We all get uncomfortable with that. You're not in that state now. You were just saying that, right? I mean, please, for the love of God, tell me.
Grin.
You are not in that state, right?
Right now?
No, stop. Stop it. What are we doing here?
Semi.
This is my fault.
Semi.
Yeah. Just so I guess now, if we're keeping a record, Buzz doesn't mind hearing about it. Rob and I would be just slightly uncomfortable with it.
Okay. All right. Well, then from now on, I'll say, hey, Buzz, why don't you come in here and...
That might be the... Or go over to him.
I'm uncomfortable with that.
Yeah.
Right.
Or maybe I'll bring it to him.
Yeah.
Say, walk over to his studio.
It's an intimate little studio that he's got. You know what? That would be a complete problem solver, because then, you know, we wouldn't be dealing with that.
That's true, and it would be really easy for you to knock on the door, even if your hands were full.
I'll pass.
All right. That's it. I'm done talking about how happy I am.
Yeah.
Mike.
What?
Well.
You want to hear about my Friday night?
Yeah.
My Friday night in New York?
Yeah.
Alone?
Yeah.
By myself?
Yeah.
Well, I had a Friday night alone by myself. You know, I was, we stayed in town an extra day, and I looked at it as an opportunity to finish the apartment in our building that we live in together. And
right, neighbor.
As Rob and Buzz and Lisa will tell you, there was some stuff that I had gotten that was going to arrive. And incidentally, I need feng shui advice again, because things are not working as well as they should be.
Got it.
But I had a bunch of stuff coming from the furniture store to get into the apartment. And fortunately, great thing about New York, you can order something and you come home from work and there it is.
Right.
And the thing, to my surprise, I thought I was going to be putting furniture together all night, and they had actually put together this bookcase and put together this nice little table that I bought, and they were all completed.
Wonderful.
So, and the other thing I bought was just a leather recliner. And so I had it sitting there. What? Share right. F you guys.
F you guys.
No, You guys are going to make me cry now.
You know what? You know,
this is really going to bang me up, I swear to God.
Don't blame me.
Yes, this is Rob who did this.
I'm making eye contact with you listening to the story.
No, and you called me on Saturday and said, I'm just calling to see how you're doing.
I did place a call to Mike on Saturday for no reason. Just saying, I'm just checking up to make sure you're doing okay.
And you can't play this song without getting to the hook. I understand this. So, when Rob gets that particular song out, we have to go all the way to the funny part, which is, unfortunately, Rob, the part that kills me. Very much a drag. So I was home in my apartment, and I was happy about the little things like the minute put together my table. So I'm sitting there, and they put together the stuff, and I realized that I'm hanging out on my couch, and I said, I nodded out a little bit because, we were all tired on Friday, and then I woke up, and I said, what are you doing?
And now he's got a better one.
I'm done. I'm doomed. These two evil F's get together.
This one is a...
I am all right. Thank you, Rob.
Uplift.
Kind of day it is for me. That actually helps.
Good.
You're all right, Mike. Thank you. So I wake up probably at about 6 o'clock or so, and I'm wide awake, and I've gotten all the stuff done that I needed to do. So I say, why not just head down to the Great White Way and take in a show? This is something, as all you know, I have done before. And I go down to that area in Times Square where all the tourists go, where they sell tickets. And that whole environment didn't do it for me. There's something I thought that was a little, weird about it, that it was kind of shady, that they're kind of hustling, and you're not going to get the best seats. And somebody had told me a long time ago that if you're looking for a single ticket, you want to go to a show, you just walk up to the box office and you say, do you have any singles? Yeah. Will you do that? And I guess it's about 6:30 when I do this. And I walk in and I got a ticket to a show.
Mm. And the show was?
Well, the show was something that, people had told me that I should go. My mother-in-law had told me this. My mom had told me this.
The producers?
No, I gave the producers impossible ticket to get.
Yeah.
Still very difficult, even a single same day, especially on a Friday night. You're not going to get a ticket to the producers. But this is a show that I would not have necessarily picked first, but it was all about where I was, the street that I was on, and I just picked one at random and kind of walked down. And I'll see if I see something, looks good. I'll duck in there. And, it was not like I had any plans, so I figured I'll go see this show because it's so popular and it's run for so long. And I just don't want anybody to think anything about me here, but it's a show that I thought I'd check out because just a pure sheer curiosity about how popular this has been and it's run for years, I went to see Les Miserables. I know it's very popular. It's run all over the country, and it's on Broadway. And I go behind this other lonely single lady who is getting a single ticket for herself. And I get up to the window, and it's one of those deals where, how Buzz says, naturally? How Buzz says, naturally. I get into this theater. There's nobody in this box office area except one lady. And I'm looking for the best seat they have, the best single ticket. And the lady in front of me goes, what's the best single ticket you have? And I'm like, even this is going to get effed up. But to my surprise, even though this is a happy moment for me with this music, turn it off. Stop it. I went up there and I said, do you have a single ticket for Les Miserables? And he said, we've got a fantastic single ticket for this show. And so I bought it and went across the street and where there happened to be an Irish bar.
Oh, all right.
And I was making a lot of phone calls and sitting there enjoying a nice little Irish whiskey in the window, watching people walk by. And I said, if you're going to be solo flying, I got a ticket to this show. I'm wide awake. Things are going very well. If you're going to be in these circumstances, I would say that I was extremely content. As content as a man can be in that circumstance. That moment that I received a call from on your phone, that I was on the phone with somebody else, and so I got a call from you called you back, got the wonderful Rue McClanahan news that you were dining, and you know, that's why when I informed you, got into the theater, and not only did I have a seventh row, which is a pretty damn good orchestra ticket for Broadway, I was on the aisle, and that brought me great joy, because, yeah. I mean, that was the happiest I was all Friday. The lady sits me down and goes, here's your ticket. I said, the aisle? And I think my reaction was a little gay, too, because I think when she said that I was on the aisle seat, I went, oh! I was so happy. And it's 8 o'clock. You know, showtime's 8 o'clock. I guess they start about 8:04. So at 8 o'clock, I'm looking, and there are two seats next to me wide open. And I'm like, this is so good. Because, you know, those little Broadway theaters, kind of, you know, you're packed in there. And I'm like, this could not be better. It's 8:02. I take the coat off. I lay the coat over the seat. I'm like, this is fantastic. The lights begin to go down. And as the lights are coming down, the show's to start. I'm sitting, I have both arms up on the seats. I am so comfortable. And, you know, even if it's a bad show and I'm not enjoying it, I'm going to stay. And that's when it all turned to S. That's when the waddling, stinking Fs arrived. The people who ruined the play for me because of everything. Not only arriving at 4 minutes after 8 o'clock, when the show was starting. You know, if you're going to really, you're going to see, what's the best part of any live performance of any kind? It's like the first 10 minutes. Sure. That's what you want to see. So this guy comes in with his, I'm being conservative. I would estimate the wife's weight to be conservatively, and I am not exaggerating, probably somewhere between 250 and 260 pounds. And she's about 5'1". He, I would estimate to be between 280 and 300 pounds, and he had some sort of infirmity where he couldn't move quickly, and he comes into the theater, and he's sitting down in the seat, and this is how he sits down. He comes by me like this.
Ass to you?
And it's not like he's fat and he's doing this. He has some problem. Really? It looked like maybe there was a hemorrhoid issue.
Oh.
He was not, or a lower back disturbance.
So you're sitting down, and he's walking.
Well, I'm out in the aisle. I'm such a small guy. You know, I'm 5'11 and a half, and I crouched down because this process, these people aren't just coming in and sitting down. This is taking an inordinate amount of time. The guy is leaning back like this, and he is having trouble sitting down. He has to sit down with the fold-up chair. He has to put his ass on the fold-up chair and sit and then begin this slide down. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, what the F is your problem? I mean, he's obviously in some sort of distress, and he sits down in here, when he sits down, he goes, oh. And when he does that, rotted teeth, provolone cheese, whatever he had ingested, comes over to me, and I'm like, okay, so I get the real fat guy next to me. I am sitting, I am sitting on one half of my chair that, thank God, it's an aisle seat, because I am hanging most of my body out into the aisle for the duration of the show.
Poor man.
And I sit down, and I'm like, you know, the whole thing about the show is starting, and but these people are huge. He smells already.
And are they the typically large Broadway seats?
They are. You know, it wasn't bad. The seats weren't really that
bad. Okay,
so it was fine from that standpoint. Yeah. But I'm sitting there next to this guy, and the show starts. They get seated, and we get, I would say, halfway into the first act. Long first act. You hear the ushers saying that. It's an hour and a half. If you have to use the facilities, use the facilities now. We get an hour and a half into this show.
Torture to me.
It's all music. It's not. There's no dialogue at all. It's a complete musical. I mean, from start to finish. And I'm watching this thing, and you know, I'm enjoying it. It's actually not a bad musical. And during the quiet moment, where, you know, a particular song, a very sad song, will be sung, where it's very, very soft, I hear. This is what I heard. Because at first, I'm not sure what I hear, but I hear. And I don't think anything of it. I kind of look over, but it's dark, and I can't really see this guy that well. Show goes on. There's a break. You know, we take a little intermission, and I go to the back of the theater where they have a bar, and it's a very long line, but it's moving very quickly. And I'm like, you know, this guy, you know, I want to enjoy it. I'm going to have myself a little toddy in between the first and second act. Get up. There are three people in front of me at this bar. First person gets served, then there are two people, and at that moment, this bar is now closed. So this contributes to what is not the greatest experience. Go back down for the second act. That's when there's a lot of this really soft music, tender music, quiet theater. And at this point, I think it's the lead male character is singing this very, very sad song, very quiet song. And I hear this next to me.
I can't fault the guy for falling asleep during that fag show.
And with the falling asleep, not only am I getting that, but I am getting the steady current of bad breath that is shooting across. And the man in front of me, every time he does it, because when I hear it, the guy in front of me hears it. And every time he does it, the guy turns around and gives him one of these. So it's a combination of the guy next to me. I'm somehow feeling, because I've got a solo ticket, that people are finding me in some remote way responsible for this F that's sitting there. And then I feel on the back of my neck, I feel a scarf touch the back of my neck, kind of flick the back of my neck. And the show goes on a little bit. I hear the guy in front of me turns around and goes like that. And I feel on the back of my neck, again, the flick of a scarf. And once again, this guy is like in and out because he'll wake up. At one point, there was a funny moment. The guy laughs and then goes back to sleep again. And he the last time we get this, third time, guy in front of me turns around and goes, the look. I don't know what he's going to do. Right. But he turns around, he looks at the guy, he knows the guy, and I feel the flick of the scarf. And I look around, and it occurs to me, as I look and we make eye contact with the ass woman in back of me, that she thinks I'm the one that's sleeping. For what reason, I don't know. She thinks all along. And I have been being flicked with a scarf, although I am completely conscious in the theater. She thinks I'm the one that's doing this.
Flicked with a scarf.
I am so pissed because I'm like, I want to stand up and go, excuse me, but the man with the big ass and the breath is sitting here. He is the one who has been sleeping for the entire show. And I the show ended. I enjoyed it, but I was very anxious to get out of there, and I went home and went to sleep in my apartment.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Thank you.
Hey, Radio Goddesses.
Hi.
How you doing? Hey, Mike, first of all, do you realize you just spent an entire night watching a play about a guy who chases down a bread thief for the rest of his life? Good job.
Yeah, I know. It's a pretty depressing show. I mean, you don't get a more... let me tell you, if I was looking for uplifting, something to, like, put me out of this spiral, it was probably not the best thing. It's a very, very depressing show.
Wrong play.
Tremendous amount of death.
Don, keep your finger on the fag button. For Valentine's Day, I just took my wife to see Barry Manilow Friday night.
Oh, and, my God.
It gets worse. We're going to go see B. Arthur in a couple of weeks, so double fag.
But, now, that's a show. That's a show that was, like, right on the same street.
That's a show you should have gone to see.
No. Oh, F, no. I mean, I couldn't stand that.
That would have been fun.
No. Not by yourself. You want to go see a show with B. Arthur, you have to have a friend with you.
Join us next Monday when, once again, Mike will talk about his weekend.
Wait a little while from now, I'm not feeling any less sound.
Oh,
I promised myself to treat myself.
Yeah.
You
know what? Sunday, I had a very nice family day. Had the family all together. It's not all. I don't want to portray this picture of me standing on the street corner. I had a very nice family day with my wife and my daughter. Had a very good time. My other daughter went to the aquarium, so we took my oldest out. It was very nice. And there will be many days like that. Thank you very much. When you hear me talk like this, you know it's real bad. You know it's sad. Stop it. Don't get me. Don't look at me in that tone of voice.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, how y'all fellas doing today?
Hey, we're doing great.
Hey, man, you need to add a couple of more sisters to that rating of the women's list.
The rating of the women's list? Oh, we're going to be doing that soon. You ask us about that and when we're doing that.
All right, and also, hey, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't mean to be, a damp or anything.
You go ahead, sir. You let it all hang out.
To me, because I'm going almost to the same thing that you are,
uh-huh.
The only woman in your life that you should be upset over of anything is your mother.
Really?
But wives come and go. You only get one mom, so anything else, just let it flow and don't even let that get you down.
Okay, thank you, sir.
That is
mom,
true.
And you know what? Your mom is great, Mike. Called my mom before the Broadway show. Called her the next morning. Told her how great it was.
Hello, Donna Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Donna Mike.
Is this me?
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
I believe it is you.
Great. How are you doing, Donna Mike?
Okay.
All right, great. I was just listening to your conversation. Man, now we know the side effects of Paxil. Man, Mike, I tell you, that story, it almost made me feel a little gay listening to you. You were looking at a great, you know, great show, and here you are talking to us about this 250-pound guy.
Mm.
Come on, I pay attention to details, but you look
no,
like...
No, I don't think... You missed it, my friend. Sorry, you're out. You missed
it. Was he saying that I got overly upset at the guy that was...
I don't think he knows what it was.
Snoring?
Hello,
what?
Don on my show.
O'Mara.
Yes, sir.
I love you.
Oh, stop it. Just go away. I'll see you tonight at West.
It's a support call, I think, Mike.
I know who it is. Call. I recognize the voice.
Who is it?
I don't think we need to go into that. It's a guy who's helping me through some stuff right now.
All right. Goodbye.
I'll see you tonight at the club.
Bye-bye. Who
Is there a specific deck? Is this all early 80s or?
This is all just Eric Carmen.
But I mean, when was he? It was the 70s or the 80s for him.
Late 70s, early 80s.
70s, early
all
80s.
All of his songs are the same, like that he's all, I know we got a break, Lisa. He's all busted up in all of his songs.
Eric Carmen?
Yeah, this is the last one I'll leave you with, Mark.
I wonder if he's ever been to a Broadway play. I bet he has. I bet he's been on Broadway.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, Mike.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Okay.
Mike, I love you and all, but damn, you're pathetic.
Thank you.
I thought it was you.
I'm going to do that, too. I'm a Renaissance man. I'll go to the Teat Bar. Absolutely.
You just totally depressed me, man. Knock it off, damn it.
All right, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Uh-oh. Have a good day, guys. Hey, Buzz, what's going on?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks.
See you later. Good day to you, sir. Incidentally, I don't know if you...
Toodaloo ass.
I don't know if you caught The Simpsons last night.
Yes.
Did you watch it?
No, I taped it. I didn't see it.
Very funny.
Check it out when they say good day to you.
That's right.
Really?
And then Homer says, I said good day.
There you see? They always pay attention to this show.
You tell me they're not tracking with us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now you've heard my weekend, which was, I'm sorry to say, Mike, pretty decent. Mm-hmm. Pretty nice weekend. Mike's weekend, which was...
My weekend was actually good. I mean, I really, through all this stuff with the guy, I enjoyed the show, and I didn't think I would.
Someone didn't have a good weekend, and his name is Bobo. But we'll hear about Rob's T-Wax weekend.
Oh, really?
Do you know what happened?
No.
Oh, great.
No.
I mean, not great, but
something really bad?
Pretty bad.
Oh. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, take it easy. You'll get a stomachache if you swallow it like that.
Don and Mike, anytime, from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WKFK, 202-132-1067. And from New York City on WNEW, 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
Sorry about that. Didn't mean to go with the Alone Again Naturally. We're still just loaded in the machine.
I liked it.
The writing is delicious.
Two screaming semen demons.
Nice.
Don and Mike.
Listen, this week on the show, oh, you're going to love this. Thursday, we're having our annual Valentine's Day show.
Right.
And this is planned out long before any events transpired with you.
What's going on?
Unless you have a problem, we're going to be involving couples who are divorcing.
No, I don't.
If you have a problem, I'll change it.
I have no problem with that. I am a professional. I have no problem with that whatsoever. You had said that, actually. You'd said that before.
A long time before.
You actually mentioned that we were going to do that kind of show. So that's no problem.
Kind of the opposite of what we've done in previous years on,
yeah, but we,
on Valentine's
think,
Day.
Didn't we have a show many, many moons ago where it was somehow involved in that, too?
We actually had a couple get divorced on the show.
Right, that's right.
We can talk more about it tomorrow. The thought is, what we like is a couple, and again, I swear to God, not based on you.
Right.
But a couple maybe that is almost finalized their divorce to come down together to be on the show. And the thought is that we would give the
guy a lap dance in mm-hmm. front of the woman.
Right.
And give the woman a lap dance in front of the guy.
Very good.
Just to see if there's anything left or, you know, just for awkward moments.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a purely awkward moment and find out how they respond to it. I think that's interesting.
And we have $500 to give away also.
That's good. Ah. That's a good thing.
That we'll give to
the most awkward couple?
Yes.
Very good.
And that money is courtesy of Sprint PCS. They can save $150 on any new 2 Sprint PCS phones with a mail-in rebate. See your local Sprint store or SprintPCS.com for details. Sprint PCS. I want to tell you something. I just switched my phone to Sprint.
Yes?
It kicks ass. Kicks
has
ass.
A buzz. Haven't you had it for a while?
No.
Not at all. Charlie Broyhill.
Charlie Broyhill is the one that raves about
customer.
It. Yeah, and we finally switched to it, and it's great.
I forgot to tell you one thing about my weekend.
Yes.
That I feel it's essential to tip in here, because it's the truth. I watched a movie on the train coming back home.
Yeah?
And I loved it, and I just thought I'd throw it out there. It's Moulin Rouge.
Hey!
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hey! Thank you. Now, wait a minute. Before you go that way, I want to tell you something. Nicole Kidman is turbo hot in it. But you know what? It's not because of that. It's just I thought it was a very, very...
Is it Ewan McGregor?
It was not Ewan McGregor either, although I do like his singing voice. I thought it was very cool the way they incorporated contemporary music into the show. I didn't know it was going to be like that.
You are turning gay.
I am not turning gay.
You are turning gay.
I am not. I enjoyed the movie.
You know what? You're
thoroughly, and I didn't think I would.
Your new name is going to be whatever Charlie Stossel's old girlfriend's name used to be. You know, the one who...
Does anybody know if they're going to take that movie, Moulin Rouge, and turn it into a Broadway show? I thought I'd heard that they might be doing that. If anybody knows about that, please let me know first.
I'm sure,
because I will be first in line to get that ticket.
I'm sure you'll be able to find out tonight at Club Wet when you're surrounded by hot, hunky homos.
If they do turn it into a musical for Broadway, I want to know, because I want to be the first to get my single season ticket.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi, you guys.
Hi there.
Okay, my name's Arielle. I'm calling from Jersey. This is a little bit, you know, past the time, but I wanted to tell you guys that I think it's kind of cool that you went to a Broadway show.
Do you really? Who's the celebrity you most resemble?
Okay, I've got hair like Julia Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
Face, I don't know. I'm cute.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the good words.
There you go.
Oh, all right. Mike, give me the sign. Like, away with her. Away with her. Like the way a king would send away one of the subjects.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.
Oh, please.
Toodaloo.
Toodaloo ass. Now, Rob.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Crime. Crime hits Rob Spiewak.
Wait a minute. This is heavy-duty stuff.
Yes, crime hits Rob Spiewak.
And imagine the festival of emotion. First, may I start by saying hello to all our friends at Union Station? And I'd like to say...
Hold on. First, I got a guy who's got a beef with you. How can a guy have a beef with
me?
You? Hey, Dave?
Yes.
What's your problem with Rob A?
Yeah. I don't like his comments. How you, every caller that calls in, he's got a smart remark to him.
Shut up, ass. All right, so anyway, Rob. So... Union Station, you know, Mike, you've got me hooked on the train. I love the train. I'm not faulting you at all.
No, I know.
But I will continue to use the train, but in a different capacity. Got off the train, had a lovely ride back on the Metro Liner, and got to my car. Getting to my car, the phone rings, and it's Don, and he says, "We're sitting with Rue McClanahan." And that is terrific. Now, we have a good joke about it, and I unlock my car, and I sit down, and I hang up with Don, and I look down, and I say, "Gosh, there's pieces of plastic on the floor of my car. I really need to straighten this car up."
Uh-oh.
And I put the key in my in the ignition, and I turn it, and it turns like a lazy Susan. And it's at this point that I realize that my steering column is in pieces.
Someone tried to
hotwire my automobile.
Did they break the window?
No, and this is what baffled me.
So they got him with probably a Jimmy bar into the car and then tried to... No?
They took an electric or power drill of some sort and went through the lock cylinder of the passenger side. They drilled right through my door.
So you didn't have a lock left in the passenger side?
No.
Wow.
If there's anything Rob loves, it's his goddamn Chevy Caprice.
You know, yes. You know, really.
Eighth most stolen car in America.
Jesus Christ, with everything that's gone on, you would think that, you know what, they don't. They don't protect that place.
Nope.
They don't do it. It sucks.
I mean, just absolutely
DC,
like...
as far as, you know, the locations for airports, for security for people, we've talked about it all along. It sucks. They don't protect people.
Tickled to death to pay $18 a day to park in that secure location.
Mm. Yeah.
So I go over to the emergency box. and I hit the button, and immediately a strobe light goes off. It's like I'm at Studio 54, and a voice says, "The emergency box has been activated from level 4 of the Union Station parking garage. The location is the call box on level 4 of the Union Station parking garage." And then a guy comes on and says, "Yes, hi, where are you at?"
You've got to understand Rob and this thing he's got with this car.
I love this car. This is the third Caprice in a series of Caprices.
Didn't you have another car where a rock was thrown through the window or something like that?
Yeah, I saved the rock. And there's something that titles back to that in a moment.
Okay. Now, and Rob likes this car because it looks like an undercover cop car.
Right.
It has a cop engine.
And it's got the big one solid seat in the front seat. You know, right. You've done that bucket
bench
seats.
Bench seat.
Right. I mean, I know you love this car. You love this car more than anything.
And I love this car perhaps the most of the three that I've owned because now they're no longer made.
That's right.
This is a really nice example, and I've taken very good care of it.
So we're at the moment of response time.
Right. And they say, "Where are you?" after they've already said it twice. I said, "I'm at level 4 of the Union Station parking garage. My car has been vandalized." He says, "Okay, wait there." No question as to how I am or anything.
No, it's garbage.
I say, "Well, I'll wait here then." And I'm waiting. And, you know, it's not too terribly warm or comfy or anything. And I'm just waiting.
What's the response time?
I would say about 4 or 5 minutes.
That sucks.
And they get up there, and his first question to me is, "Vandalized car?"
Was it a cop or a security person? An Amtrak cop.
He says, "How you doing?" I said, "I've been better." And we go over to my car, and we look again. He says, "Yep, they tried to hotwire your car. How'd they get in?" I said, "I don't know. I know I locked my car because I always double check." Mm-hmm. And I looked over and, yep, drill right through the lock cylinder. So no point in even locking the car now because the door is basically just hanging there. It can't even be shut, really. And they said, "Do you have a tow service you use?" And I have, you know, I have a number that I keep in case, so I call up. They said, "Where are you at?" Again, fourth level of the Union Station parking garage. "That garage is too low. We can't get a tow truck in there." "Thank you. Sorry we can't help you." And the car cannot be started because the key won't turn the cylinder.
Because the guys have tried to jam.
Yeah, they've damaged the car beyond. Right. They've damaged your ignition by trying to break it in.
And I say, I ask the cop, I say, "Do you have a service that can tow here?" "Yep." "Can I have the number?" "Sure." Call them. They get there in about 35, 40 minutes or so.
Nice to know society's getting back to normal, though.
Yeah. And then while in the wait time for it to be picked up by the tow truck, I ask, "Are you all liable for this? Should I have my insurance company call you?" "No, we're not liable." I said, "Really?" And he looked at me and as if to say, "Hell," he said, "we'll comp your parking."
Hey. And, you know, they probably have some small worded, very small print
sign
as you're entering the garage saying, you know, if your car is stolen, you're effed.
No parking garage really would ever be liable for any. But I'll tell you something. When you're talking about, one of the transportation centers of the nation's capital, and you talk about the amount of security that's been heightened, you don't have, they used to have, like, right after the stuff happened, there was a real police presence. I went into the men's room at Union Station when I got off the train.
Yes.
And there was some guy, I don't know, I would assume he maybe made the Union Station his home, and he was screaming at the top of his lungs in one of these booths as I am trying to enjoy my urination. And yes. I'll tell you this, it was incredible because there's stuff all over the floor. This guy is screaming. There isn't a cop. There isn't a security person anywhere, and you know what? They have just bagged it at Union Station.
Sure, which is why they call it the civilized way to travel.
Yeah.
So we get there, and the
trains are fine, as you know.
Yeah,
you like
right,
the train, but I mean,
marvelous.
I don't like, and I'll tell you, Penn Station, you can't walk 2 inches without seeing a cop. I mean,
they take it seriously up there.
They don't take it seriously in the nation's cab. They don't. It sucks.
But with the heightened importance put on train travel after 9/11, you think they'd be trying a little harder in the capital. But
tell them what happens when Cletus finally shows up. The tow truck.
Cletus shows up, and he's got that thing going on when a guy gets older. Either their head shrink or their glasses get bigger. He's got the world's biggest. They look like dinner plates in my
right.
focus. And he goes over to my car and he looks at it and he says, "Yeah, give me your thing." I said, "What?" "Well, the thing. I said, "What are you talking? The keys." He says, "Here's your problem. You can't start this car with that key. Got a click, click, click chip in it." And I said, "Oh, and I'd forgotten. GM cars, and I think you have it too, have like a chip in the car, even if you hotwire it,
chip.
Won't start." So he puts the key in and jams a screwdriver halfway down my steering column, and the car lights up like King's Dominion.
Wow.
And it's running now.
Wow.
And he says, "Well, it's your call now. You can either drive it home or I'll tow it in." And I said, well, I don't know how to start it with a screwdriver, so you'd best tow it in. He takes the screwdriver and the key out. The car is still running. It's just sitting there running. And he said, that's why these were amateurs. They knew that you can't start this car, no key. And I said, well, they probably should have looked in the glove box where I have my keys. I have a spare set of keys in the glove compartment. They left the stereo. There's $10 in quarters in my dashboard.
Don't they also, on that level of the parking garage at Union Station, have the signs that say, this area patrolled by video surveillance and regular, you know.
On every level it says that.
And you know what? They do patrol it, too. I have seen security patrols up there with, you know, in the cars, but... Man, it's amazing that that would happen.
They're doing a great job. As a matter of fact, one of the helpful pieces of advice the cop did tell me when he was filling out my reports is, fourth attempt this week.
Really?
I said, well, that's great. At least I still have my car.
So I'm talking to Rob about this. He says the guy who finally gets his car going says to Rob, you can drive it home
or
we can tow it. Rob says, well, what happens when I drive it? Now, keep in mind, the guy's taking the key and
the screwdriver
out. The car's still running. So Rob's question is, well... Let's say I drive the car home. How do I get the car to turn off?
All you need is your screwdriver. I said, okay, how about you turn the car with the screwdriver? And they said, no, this is sort of hard. Why don't you drive it out, and we'll get on the corner of North Capitol and 8th Street. It'd be easier to hook up there. I said, great. So I'm driving the car down, and the whole, you know what, the turn signal, windshield wiper, cruise control, everything is controlled by this, like, bar that shoves off your steering wheel.
I'm surprised he wants to move you out into Dodge City.
Yeah.
So I would be
suspicious
at that when you have a parking garage where you would be able to back the car out.
Well, there were cars on either side. You know, it would have been a hard hookup, I know, but still, at this point, I'm overloaded, whatever. So we drive down, and guess what? They're not going to waive my parking. So you know how the parking...
I'd melt down. I'd break through the barricade.
Very close.
Right.
Now, you know how the cars get lined up, like 60 deep?
They get backed up, way backed up at Union.
Yeah, it's
get out.
If you're not the first, you're screwed.
Waiting a line for a half hour.
Right.
And the tow truck is behind me, and the lady says, you know, whatever it is, like $62 or whatever. So I spoke to Mr. Blankety Blank or whatever. He said, my parking is waived. Why is that? Do you see my car, how it's been broken? They said they'd waive the parking. Hold on, let me get my supervisor on the phone.
Oh.
So she calls her supervisor, which results in them handing the phone out of their booth to me in the car. Hi, hello, this is Rob Spiewak. We spoke earlier. He says, yes, I remember about waiving your parking. I'll be right down. All you have to do is fill out a form.
Oh my God!
I said,
And I bet that's not pissing off the people behind you.
Unbelievable.
I said, hey, here's something that let's consider. At any time, my car is going to turn itself off and there'll be no way to restart it. How about you fill out the form and waive my parking and I'll get through and you let the tow truck driver through as well. How does that sound? He says, well, okay.
Duh.
So they let me through. And then they almost want to stop the tow truck driver, not realizing that he doesn't even have a parking ticket
because
he came up to get me.
Right.
All right. So we're finally out, and we get out to really, really a neighborhood that looks like you maybe wouldn't even want to send a hooker there because the hookers are scared of this neighborhood. Thank Christ my father called on my phone, and he was actually doing some business in D.C. He was able to come pick me up.
Good to have a family member.
Yeah, it was just absolute dumb luck.
Jeez.
So he gets to watch Cletus watch me fill up all the paperwork for Dumb Scratch Movers or whatever this tow truck company is.
You know, you leave your car in an open parking lot. You leave your car on the street in any major city in the country.
You're in trouble.
You're not necessarily inviting it, but, I mean, it's not going to be an unusual circumstance. Something like that happens. You go into a secure parking lot that you have to pay premium dollar for.
It ain't cheap, pal.
You would expect that you know, whatever they're doing is wrong. Like, man, this is one where I'd love to be able to talk to somebody.
So they finally got me hooked up and towed me out, and they're having it looked at. And thank Christ, it's going to be covered by Comprehensive, and it won't even affect my insurance rates. But it was not the best time, and I wasn't pleased with the way it was handled.
Is it a quick fix to get your car back in shape?
I've still got to get the insurance estimate today. I think it'll probably be like a day and a half repair to begin. But hi to everyone at Union Station. Well handled, fellas.
This means you're not taking the train anymore?
I'll be cabbing to Union Station heretofore. And I've done the math, and you know what? With the money they charge for parking, it's about the same.
Okay. Joining us now, Rob, I don't know, do you remember the guy's name?
The officer or the tow truck guy?
The tow truck guy.
I don't remember his name.
Here we have him on the line now.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
This is the tow truck. Hi, tow truck operator.
Hi, how you doing?
What's happening?
Hey,
yeah, I fooled nobody with that.
It sounds a little too together to be my tow truck driver.
That's a tow truck guy.
Yes, you are.
No.
Yes, yes, you are.
How do you spell tow truck?
Tow, T-O-W-T-A-R-K.
Perfect. Are you coming to Club Wet tonight?
If I can get a ride with you all, I can go.
No.
No.
Yes.
No.
Hey, Charlie.
Ah.
Yes.
Ah.
No.
Ah. No. No. Ah. No. No.
Yes.
I didn't expect Tom to show up because Wednesday's the night he normally goes out there.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, bye, Tom.
Bye.
Yeah.
All right, there he goes. Well, sorry your car was vandalized and nearly stolen.
Don, you've been talking about the security at Union Station from almost the time
that's
of the
true,
tragedy.
That's true, because of the secret door, and they don't even...
They got a big problem down there. They got to take care of it. They got to improve it. I mean, if they casually say, fourth time this week, there's some kind of breakdown.
They need to start patrolling the parking lots and no more coitus in the stairwells.
Wow.
I'm firm on that.
Man, oh man. I mean, you know, they talk about New York being a big, being a bad city and a dangerous city and stuff. But I'll tell you something, it's just, they could take some lessons just the way they handle things in Union Station compared to Penn Station.
Absolutely. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Don.
Oh, and Union Station prominently featured, incidentally, in the Arnold movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hello?
Yeah, Don.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Gabe, the guy that calls for Buzz all the time.
Oh, hi, Gabe.
Hi, Gabe.
How's it going, Buzz?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I've really liked listening to you lately.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You've been doing a great job.
And I've enjoyed your listening.
Well, thank you. And Mike.
Yes.
You haven't seen Moulin Rouge till you've seen it on Ecstasy. Talk to Buzz.
Thank you.
Yeah, that too. I mean, I would imagine.
Thank you, my friend.
Any type of narcotic.
Mushrooms.
Yeah, the Moulin Rouge is a movie that is edited and photographed and mixed in a way that I've never seen before in any music video or anything.
You think it would be better than that Mickey Mouse movie we saw, Buzz?
The Fantasia?
Yeah.
You mean? Yeah. I've made a note of it, sure.
Hello.
I've seen Fantasia. It would be better.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Radio Gods.
Hi.
Hi. I'm here to back up the show. I called about, Mike's theater debacle.
You're here to back up the show?
Yeah.
We try to move the show forward, sir.
Well, I could talk about what you're talking about right now. The only way, you know, Rob got about all he's going to get out of them. The only way you can, this is from experience, is protect your belongings is you got to get, they have to take the keys and you got to get a ticket, you know, and then you've got them.
What is he talking about?
When you check your code, it's when...
I know it's Monday.
What, Robbie? That was the owner of Union Station, Johnny Union.
Listen, I know it's Monday, and it's not Wednesday, but we're going to get out our copy of Feelings.
Okay.
Now, hold on. Don't give it to Mike in advance.
Oh. All right. Okay.
We're going to read an article from yesterday's Washington Post magazine.
Very good.
Okay?
All right.
Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the disc jockey. Glenn Hollis.
I've heard Glenn Hollis many, many times, and his show is, I think, at best, nauseating.
Yes.
And at worst, a joke.
Now, it is not jealousy.
Hi, how are you?
Trust me, it's not jealousy that we've been doing a show for 16 years and we've never gotten written up. Right. It's not jealousy.
Okay.
It's the fact that this guy.
Too much this guy.
Here's the bit. Rob, just pull out any sappy record.
You got it.
Here's the bit. Right here. I'll give you the bit. Mike, you want to... hold on.
It is best if somebody's on the phone.
Hold on a second. Give me a second here. Hold on a second.
Are you going to be Glenn Hollis or the caller?
I'll be Glenn Hollis.
Okay. Let me see. Come on. There you go. Line 4.
Down to Mike.
Oh. Hi, D.A.
Hi.
Hi.
Is somebody on for?
Put it on hold, please.
Okay.
Now, let me see. All right, pick it up, Mike. Let me see.
Hi, Glenn.
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
First, and the first thing you got to know is that he's also got...
What's the name of the show?
After Hours. And they have, like, these dumb jingles that go, After Hours on Wash FM.
With Glenn Hollis.
Hi, everybody. It's Glenn Hollis with you on a Monday night. Really, it's how the guy sounds.
I'm sorry. I had something in my throat, Glenn.
Glenn Hollis, Mike, are you going to be a man or a woman?
You know what? I want to go falsetto because my regular voice does not sound like your average caller. I'm going to be a woman because he deals with women much more effectively than men.
And don't forget all his sayings, all his pithy pieces of advice and his cards.
Hello, Glenn.
After Hours on Wash FM, this is Glenn Hollis. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Glenn. This is Karen.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
I just want to first say I love your show. And I think I love After Hours. I was wondering if there's a chance that you could do something for me.
Of course. A special song for a special someone?
Oh, no. I thought you'd take your fist.
No. I'll start again. I'm sorry. Here we go.
Hi, Glenn.
Hello.
Is this Glenn Hollis?
Wash FM After Hours. This is Glenn Hollis.
Oh, Glenn, I'm such a big fan of your show. We listen down here at the Burger King all the time, and especially when it gets late at night. I've been kind of sad because I haven't been with my boyfriend in a while, and your show just, your show really cheers me up.
Tell me something. What's his name?
His name is Samuel.
Samuel.
Would you play something for him?
I've got something right now. Remember, love is eternal. Scorn is temporary.
Oh, thank you, Glenn.
Love you.
It's the Rednecks, too.
Yeah, hold on. Let me get into the record.
Hi, Glenn.
Hold on a second. Hold on. After Hours. On Wash FM. Hello, Wash FM.
Is this Glenn?
This is Glenn. Hi, who's this?
My name is Nathaniel.
Hi, Nathaniel. How can I help you tonight?
Yeah, Glenn, me and the missus are celebrating our 74th wedding anniversary, and we'd like to hear something special. It doesn't have to be anything in particular, but I sure do love her a lot, and I was wondering if there's not that chance you could play. Something
that
had a picture of him on the back of the magazine.
I've got it for you here.
Thank you very much.
And remember, to love is to receive a glimpse of heaven.
I just want to say, me and the folks down at the pig farm really love you, Glenn Hollis.
Love you.
Hello, it's me.
It's foreigners, too, Doc.
All right, hold on.
He does. I mean, I'm telling the truth. He does.
Hold on.
Wait a second.
Hold Little on. Samples of the show.
Give me a second.
The Glenn Hollis show.
Five's a bad one. Oh, hold on. I got one here. Hold on.
Excuse me.
That's quite all right.
Wash FM. Hello, Wash FM.
Hello, is this Glenn?
Yes, hi. This is Glenn. Good evening. Who's this?
Chadir.
Chadir. Hi, Chadir.
Chadir.
Jaria, my apologies. Welcome to After Hours on Wash FM.
I love your show, Glenn. Could you play something that has a sweetie romance for us? Me and my husband, Jaria.
I'd be glad to. And don't forget, what was your name again?
My name is Jaria.
Love is not our choice, but our fate. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods that drown it.
Some Korean cumin.
Which one, Rob? Number two.
Okay, all right, one more.
Okay.
After Hours, Wash FM. Hi, this is Glenn. Oh, and incidentally, you got to know this guy's whole rabbi. He's a big, giant, fat guy. And in the studio, he has, like, candles everywhere.
Well, for atmosphere.
It's totally dark except for candles.
Sure.
And he'll say that on the air. I'm here at the Wash Studios right now, surrounded by candles, a little incense going, and let's go to the phones, the After Hour phones. Hello, Wash.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi.
I just want to say I love your show. You hear so many shows on the radio, but yours is just so much more special than the other shows, and I wanted to thank you for doing that. It's a wonderful show.
I think I recognize. Let me see. Is this Craig Wilson from USA Today?
Yeah, this is Craig Wilson. I love your show. I listen to it all the time. The music is so nice, but more importantly, what you say is nice, too.
Who would you like to dedicate a song to tonight?
Frankly, I'm just kind of feeling alone, and I'd like to dedicate it to my partner, Jack, and my dog, Murphy. And it's kind of a sad night for us in the Wilson household.
Why?
Well, you see, Glenn, I'm dying. Oh.
are the most sweet chicken shells.
Wow.
So anyway, you
yeah. Hey, goodbye, Glenn.
Bye. Oh, goodbye, Mike. So you get the gist of this guy's show. That this guy basically he does this show where dum-dums call up and they make their love requests and dedications.
Right.
And the guy gets a freaking 3-page article on him.
He is so on top of the microphone when he when he's doing this. He's so totally close to the microphone that it sounds like that.
Glenn Hall. Glenn Hall is on. You know, hey, Rob, give me the harmonizer a little bit.
Okay, hold on.
Just give me a little bit of that right now. See if you can do that. I know we're up on a break, but let's just see.
Wait, you want to echo or make your voice lower?
Just make it a little lower. A little bit.
We're playing with our new toy. Working the radio magic. Playing with our new used terminology.
They use it on Pete Moss and Less Human.
Okay,
very good.
Right.
So it's, but you're right.
This is Glenn Hall. This is After Hours.
That's how close he is.
On Wash FM. It's a good looking Monday night. Are you alone tonight? I'm here for you with your requests and your dedications.
Glenn Hollis.
All the way up until midnight on Wash FM.
So they profile the guy.
I'm a useless tool. I'm a douche. However, I have a full-page article on me in the Washington Post magazine.
Wow. That's something Don and Mike have never gotten.
And look at the picture of me. Look at the picture of me.
Just our listeners say the craziest things about love.
I love my listeners.
Yeah, so let's get out the Craig Wilson music.
All right,
because I think we're gonna have to go with this.
Sure.
He maintains he's married, incidentally.
Very good. Okay. Good for him.
This guy Glenn Hollis from Wash FM.
I believe him.
So we will divulge some of that. We come right back. More show coming right up.
And Mike Show. The critics love snacks. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WJFM 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
Damn straight.
You magnificent bastard. I salute you.
We will be at Club Wet tonight. Paying off our bet against the gay bowlers.
Oh, boy.
We'll be there at 8 o'clock tonight. Trust me. We'll be out the door at 8:30.
Yeah.
Like Esther a goose.
It's the Don and Mike Show. Surprised you didn't know that.
If you want to come by and see us pay off our bet against the homo bowlers, please come by. Otherwise, we'll just give you the tape to recap on tomorrow's show.
We will have tape recorders in hand.
It's Alan, incidentally, in a great part of town.
Well, I think we knew that already.
I don't know if you know how great the part of town is, though.
I'm pretty sure that it's great, like some of the venues we've actually worked at before.
Do you remember Half Street?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, down where Nation is, correct?
That's right.
That seems to be the district for that type of activity.
Lock
your car, Rob.
That's it.
Rob, you driving tonight?
Yeah.
You're carpooling with me, right?
Yeah, I think I'm going to catch a ride with someone else. I can't take 2 days of that.
Listen, as I mentioned, the Valentine's Day show, we'll be talking about that tomorrow. We're asking couples who are going through divorces to come down and be on the show.
Very good.
We'll get more into detail on that tomorrow. One of the couples going through a divorce will win the $500 from Sprint.
Excellent. Employees not eligible.
Yes, absolutely.
Very good.
All right, so there's this disc jockey who does the show, the love dedication show. I mean, there are shows like this all over America. It's like the nighttime phenomenon for these AC stations, adult contemporary stations, where you have a faggy sounding guy who comes on and reads dedications and it's awful to listen to. And the guy gets an article about him in the freaking Washington Post, the Washington Post magazine. Love is in the airwaves. At Wash FM, Glenn Hollis gets lonely hearts through the night. Feelings. By Arthur Allen.
Love is the beginning and end of all things. Someone once said that. And Glenn Hollis wrote it down on an index card.
It's all in the cards.
To love is to receive a glimpse of heaven. Love is all you need. Love will find a way. Love is not our choice, but our fate.
Many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it.
And so on. Love is Glenn Hollis's currency. But it is also a hard sell on this night in the fall of 2001. Out there in Radio Land, the vast expanse of commuters, shoppers, and lonely hearts stretches to the horizon below Hollis's sixth-floor Rockville studio. Emotions are running more to shock, panic, depression, and fear. Hollis, who has hosted a call-in dedication program called After Hour on Wash FM for 8 years, is finding this to be a most challenging week.
The problem, fundamentally, is tone. His love song show draws the late night lonely, the remorseful spouses, and all manner of men and women who take their private errands of the heart into the public airwaves.
Ooh, private.
But tonight, sentimental love threatens to tip over the brink into maudlin morosity. Something similar happens every year around Christmas, but obviously this is different. What Hollis calls the dead people dedications. What Hollis calls the dead people dedications are coming fast and furious. He has to weed them out. Too many calls for firefighters. Too many calls for cops.
I'm looking for interesting calls. But I try to make it not too depressing. I try to keep it upbeat, he says, headphones in place.
As he looks at blinking lights of love-struck callers on his cell phone console.
Eventually, he settles into a love of a life, love of a lifetime groove. Vanessa asks Glenn to play Right Here Waiting for her boyfriend, Vern, who's in the Navy, training in Florida. A man named Preston needs How Do I Live for a woman whose husband worked at the Pentagon and got caught up in that. Jeannie called to say her husband is a diplomat on his way to Israel.
Then there's Kate. Hollis guesses her story's real. Awkward as it is to broadcast such feelings. Anyway, this is a dedication show, and it's her call. Blah, 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 blah.
No, I'll read it, you know.
My fiancé was on the 84th floor in the building in New York. I've resolved the idea he's not coming back, and I feel like his spirit's wherever I am. I look out the stars, I can see them so bright, and there's one just finding a fault man for where I go. Could you play the song? From The Bodyguard by Whitney Houston. I think it's called I Will Always Love You. His name was John.
While the song plays, Hollis, a youthful 38-year-old, rifles through his index card collection of inspirational thoughts. He's collected hundreds of poems and phrases.
Jack Handy.
Not only from the internet, he asserts with pride, but also from books.
He pulls out the ones that seem to fit tonight. And is in his mellifluous and soothing baritone, sprinkles them among the dedications, the music, the ads for laser surgery, and Dodge minivans, and the White House admonishment of parents to guard their kids against drugs. Like this one. Be helpful, friends. When clouds are dark and days are dark and dreary, be helpful. Even when the heart is sad, sick, and weary, be helpful. But it seems your plans are all opposed and thwarted. Go not upon life's battlefield despondent and faint-hearted. In the fall of 2001, these sentiments seem about right.
So what we're getting is the guy, he writes all this crap down and just, like, based on whatever the call is.
I had no idea before we started reading this, the total immersion in the exploitation of the tragedy, which is just so commonplace.
You know, let me see. Hold on a second. Dead cop. I got it right here on the card. And, now listen, I'm sorry. I'm getting too many dead cops and firefighters tonight. We gotta straighten this thing out.
Way to milk it, Glenn.
Thanks for sharing time with me.
Glenn says breathily.
I'm so glad we could be together. Just kind of hang out, feel better together. As we get back into our routines and move along the way we have, I'll tell you what I did tonight. I called up as many people as I knew and told them I loved them. Why don't you do that tonight?
With his homey sensibility, Hollis is like a radio shrink for the lovelorn. He listens and empathizes, never lectures or hectors, and doesn't reveal too much of himself. His voice is low-key. like the FM disc jockeys of the 1970s. Swarm with sweet highlights.
Christ.
Who the hell wrote this?
Sounds like he wrote it himself.
My God. A croon with a double scoop of quaver. And it somehow says to his listeners, it is never quite a mistake to have love. What the F is this that we're reading?
The show with a steady flow of pop love songs. Either soothing or treachy. Or treely.
What is that word, Mike?
Let's see. In between Wednesday and Sunday, three songs.
Or treat, or tearsly?
No, treacly. I don't know that word.
Turkly? Depending on your taste.
Where is it? The show is fun.
Either soothing or...
Treacly. What is treacly? What is that word?
Tearsly?
T-R-E-A-C-L-Y. I do not know that word. Is that a typo? Let me see. Either soothing or treacly. Do you know that word?
Treacly, I think.
Treacly.
Depending on...
You don't know it either? We've got one of those quarter words, gentlemen.
But in between are what Hollis specializes in. The intimate conversations, just a few seconds long, really, in which callers talk about love's gone sour. We're going strong, thanks. And thanks for a dedication to Madge.
I love him and miss him is the general sentiment. Whether the beloved person is in Afghanistan in Falls Church working the night shift, or long ago drifted away. Like Belinda's lost love.
I had this wonderful man in my life, she tells Hollis this night. And I had a chance to call you with a dedication for last year, but I didn't. And unfortunately, I said some stupid things.
Like what, Belinda? He says, speaking quietly into his microphone. That's my new, I found it. I found my Glenn Hollis voice.
I didn't believe he really cared about me, and I was so wrong.
I was so wrong. So now, you want to tell him what, Belinda?
Paging Mr. Herman.
Yes. I hope he believes in how much I love him, and he knows that I really tried. There's a catch in her voice.
Hollis segues into the appropriate, hard to say I'm sorry. A Chicago tune.
Everybody needs a little time away, I heard her say, from each other.
The music winds down. Hollis turns back to his telephone console and hits the next blinking light, which turns out to be a different sort of love light altogether.
This is Kenny. And I'm over at Vivian's house just now. She's made me a real nice dinner. And she's a special lady. And we're going to have a romantic evening. I don't know, whatever you want to pick for us.
I'm his girl, Vivian interjects. I'm blonde and long-legged.
She's got a bottle of wine she's opening up right now, Kenny reports.
No,
says Hollis.
Get off the phone and start your lovin'.
Hey, Glenn, Vivian says. You know, the only time that I cook is to seduce somebody.
Ooh,
says Glenn.
Jesus.
He puts on Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On. Subtlety would be lost on these two.
More than 100 people call every weeknight between 7 p.m. and midnight to talk with Hollis. He answers and records the calls himself. Of course he does. Although fewer than half get on the air, Kenny and Viv are about as rowdy as it gets. The perfect caller is sober and happily married. Dedications from grandma or the pet parakeet are not encouraged, nor are songs for illicit lovers or teenagers sneaking around their parents. Mm. Someone calls and they're 17 and they want to put them on asking Mariah, will you marry me? And I say, no way.
That's one of the few pieces of advice I give. Don't get married before it's time. I'm Glenn Hollis.
So, I mean, it goes on and on. And then
it's just this, it's such crap. I mean, it really, I mean, not necessarily, you know, whatever you think about a show like this. What I'm talking about is this article is just, the guy is in his bung.
And, obviously. Let me see. The last part is, let me see. Hollis takes it in stride. Christmas music is okay with him. Well, he's reading one of his cards down to a listener. Life is about love. Mm-hmm. The night begins. Hi.
Hi. This is Glenn.
This is Suzanne from my husband, Jack. And I want to tell him I love him. I'd like you to play something by Mannheim Steamroller. Jeff, whose daughter Emily is going in for surgery, mentions the Peter, Paul, and Mary song. a very somber youth asks for the Chipmunk song. And Tom, who says he's a firefighter in Alexandria, requests Silent Night, dedicated, he says, to all the people who lost their lives.
Hollis hangs up after that one and wrinkles his nose. Cutely wrinkles his nose. He doesn't like it too heavy. For all the dead people, I didn't hear the sincerity. Tom doesn't get on the air.
Oh,
Hollis makes the call.
This is Glenn Hollis on 97.1 Wash FM. Hey, listen, I know that 9/11 was a tragedy, but man, you're slowing me down with all these requests and dedications for the dead firefighters and the dead cops. I'm looking for the real therapy ones, the real ones with heartfelt emotion, so I can exploit the people that died on my fabulous Glenn Hollis show.
And Mike, we also have here some from the Soft Rock 97.1 website.
Yes.
We've got the Glenn Hollis bio.
Oh, good.
Birthday, April 15th.
No, tax day.
Tax day, and that's what it says in large, in caps with the exclamation points. Marital status, married with two kids. Hobbies.
Oh, no.
You know.
Is it? You just go ahead. I want to hear.
I collect anything pig.
Oh, my God.
No. I have many pig figurines.
That's great.
My favorite pig is made of pewter.
He's married with two kids. This isn't a beard situation. Somebody better do some blood checks.
Favorite color?
Hunter green.
Favorite film?
Babe.
Big movie.
Oh, my God. Makes my eyes tear. I love it when the pig gets found.
Favorite TV show? That's Crosshair.
Andy Griffith? X-Files.
Yeah, see,
one has good morals, the other scares the heck out of me. Glenn Hollis.
At least he wasn't totally BSing it up.
When Harry met Sally. Favorite actress?
Sandra Bullock. She sure is adorable.
Also, he's a dumbass, too.
Favorite place on earth?
At my wife's arms.
Oh, God.
Secret fantasy?
To be president for a day. I would declare a day for poetry, peace, and love. Paging President Hollis. Paging President Hollis.
Finally, favorite book? Mm-hmm. I guess you not.
The Bible.
There it is.
Of course.
Glenn Hollis.
Glenn Hollis. My God.
Now, how much of that bio is sincere, we will never really know.
No.
I think the X-Files part is. Yeah. Hey, let's do the one where the eyeballs get eaten out.
God damn. And I do believe the part in the article about where at the very beginning was like, hold on.
The dead people dedications are, and this is a quote from him.
Yeah.
The dead people dedications are coming fast and furious. I have to weed them out. Too many calls for firefighters. Too many calls for cops.
God.
Jesus.
A sensitive man.
Jesus Christ.
Hollis got his first break in the business in 11th grade when his pastor asked him to take over a 15-minute Christian rock show.
So that's how it started. There you go.
Hollis.
Glenn Hollis. Turned out to be quite good as a love DJ. He always sounded empathetic and helpful. This is Glenn Hollis on 97.1 Wash FM.
Hey, I'm getting too many cops and too many firefighters and other people who were killed at the Pentagon tonight.
I gotta talk about an effing dog dying? Hey, come on, can we get a little more sincere, people? Hey, where's my pig? Oh, I'm sitting on one. My favorite pig? That'd be my wife. Hey, where's my copy of the Bible anyway?
Hey, you know that the Double O made it into this article?
Oh, yeah, read the part about Lou. I forgot to read that part.
When Hollis arrives at the studio, the switchboard's already lighted up with excited callers. They all seem to know what they should ask, only for Christmas songs. Lou Katz, the handsomely graying afternoon man for one.
Oh, yeah.
Hands over the Yuletide studio with a wave of relief. And at least with Double O, here's a good quote from Lou.
Yeah.
We like Lou. I think I'll go home and drink a bottle of Prozac, he says.
Lou Katz, the only guy honest in the entire article.
This is Glenn Hollis.
Hi there.
I'm here to exploit your love life, but please, no more cops and no more firefighters,
please.
Come on now, you're breaking me up here.
What does it say exactly? I'm going to get the exact quote again from him right at the end.
Too many dead people dedications tonight, folks. Let me get to another one of my pre-written index cards to tell you how sensitive I am, Glenn Hollis. Love will find a way. Here on Wash F Down.
Oh,
I'm Glenn Hollis.
Well, you know, here we are.
Yeah.
Making people laugh every day.
That's right.
And this effer's in the Washington Post.
Yeah. And I'll tell you something right now. Who's the author here? Something Allen. Rodney Allen Rippey, what's the guy's name that wrote your...
Allen Anus?
I mean, Allen Anus has has taken up residence.
Yeah, right.
Arthur Allen. Arthur Allen has taken up residence in the handsomely graying Luke
Cass. Positively. Well,
Jesus.
Let me just say, if it's phony radio you crave, you have come to the right place.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, because I'm here to tell you, we're going to work out the technical details in a moment in our next break, but I'm proud to tell you that after a five-year hiatus,
oh, no.
Today, the return of Pete Moss and Less Humid.
Pete Moss and Less Humid will blow Glenn Hollis out of the water.
Pete Moss and Less Humid call the world right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Living in the violent world of Sam Huff, Don Geronimo, and Mike O'Mara.
Listen, on tomorrow's show, we're going to get back to re-rating the women.
All right.
I promise. And also, we've not yet heard the tapes of very retarded-sounding Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
New retarded-sounding tapes of Brian Wilson. And along with that, what's the other CD? Oh, the CD of people who think they've written poetry that can be turned into hit records.
Very good.
And you pay like $300 and you send it to a company, and the company sends you back a record with your bad poetry on it.
Very exciting.
Yeah, and we've got a CD full of those for tomorrow. Now, one of our favorite things to do that we've not been able to do for years, because frankly, up until last week, we did have a harmonizer back in the studio, is the Pete Moss and Less Humid show.
Right. I've only heard about this. You guys have talked about it before, but in the 10 years we've worked together here, you never had the equipment, so you could never do it upright.
Well, it's kind of like way out there, and it's kind of like Mike Oxbig and Mike Latouris.
But much more fun with the with the harmonizer, because what Pete Moss and Less Humid, they are two aging disc jockeys that have been at it a little too long, and they really are completely out of touch with today's society.
They're based, at the time we started doing the bit, they're based on Hardin and Weaver on WMAL.
Uh-huh. Yes, and a little bit of Charlie and Harrigan.
So let's, Robbie, get it going here.
All right. Now, this is going to be
let's see what happens.
Now, this is simply...
In the old days, we used to have always this little glitch with it, where it just wasn't...
No, all we're going to do is make sure that it needs to be a little higher, right, Mike? Yeah, it has to be a little... Yes. Hello. Oh, my goodness, it has to be a little higher. Yeah. Hey, now, that's not bad, though. Hi. Maybe a little higher than that, Rob. I'm Less Humid. Hey, this is Pete Moss, and I'm Less Humid. Good afternoon. See why it's funny? I think it's, it's getting close. Let me hear you. Hey, it's Pete Moss and Less Humid on a good-looking Monday get-together, everybody. Maybe just a little faster. Let me tell you something. I've just completed my 15th colonoscopy, and I'd like to urge all men in our listening audience to have your colon checked. It's very important. Hey, it's the Two for the Road show. Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Monday. Only 4 days till the weekend. The great Negro entertainer, Sammy Davis Jr.
All right, everybody, gather around.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Sweet chocolate.
And he's so well spoken.
Come drop me anything you want. You've come to the right man, because I'm the candy man.
This isn't about drugs.
Who can take a sunrise?
That's a beautiful day on the Pete Moss Less Humid get-together. Is this what you want? Because we could try. We could try to make it a little higher. It does need to be a little higher.
A little higher. Just a little higher.
If there's a little delay on it that I'm finding difficult.
Just a little.
If Rob can eliminate that. There was a little bit of delay on the Harden and Weaver show. Are you enjoying playing with it, too?
Yes, I am.
Go over and do your job.
Okay.
WMAL. I'm Big Boss, and I'm less human, and we're chowing down at the crack of dawn.
I'm coming home, I've done that.
Sorry, that was blue. See, that's not what Big Boss or less human.
I had the response, though.
Here we go. WMAO, hi, this is Big Boss, and I'm less human, and we're chowing down at the crack of dawn. No! No, just say you're chowing down.
Okay.
And I'm going to remind you of one of our favorite parts of this.
Very good.
WMAL, hi, this is P-Boss, and I'm less human, and we're chowing down on some five-alarm chili.
I'm coming home, I've done the time.
Better than a spastic Coleman.
Now I've got to know what
he... I think that's about it, Rob. I think that's pretty close. I believe Rob has dialed it right in there. We're at 90%. We could go up to 100. No, leave it right here. This is good for the less P-Boss, less human. I'm P-Boss, and I'm less human, and let me tell you something. It's always fun to get together with our listening audience on a beautiful, beautiful Monday here in our nation's capital. And now, part of our rap is that we don't do the blue stuff. We don't do the underpants humor. We don't do the scatological humor. Haunt's got no place on today's modern AM radio.
That's right.
You're absolutely right, Dita. A long time ago, you and I said to each other, that's garbage. And that's not the kind of garbage we're going to do on the Pete Moss Less Humid Show. We're going to talk about wholesome things and hopefully entertain you with a laugh or a song. It's 17 minutes before the hour. This is Pete Moss. And I'm less humid. Here are the stories that we can choose from today to do the bit. I thought you were going to say, here are the stories we're following today. We have the luxury dog hotel. Ah, that's a wonderful, wonderful story. You know, some of those dogs are treated better than people. We have the everyday Olympics. The Olympics, that's fair. You know, everybody's talking about all the stuff out there in Salt Lake City.
Yes.
You know, we do have a story with Dr. James Capers. It might be funny to see if he would go on with Pete and Les. Let's see if he'd recognize us.
I bet he wouldn't.
No, he's a...
See if he's there.
He's an ass. Oh, he's wacky.
Just try him.
Now, when we're doing this, can we be ourselves until we actually get him on the line? So we can say things like, toodaloo ass.
Well, Mike, while we're waiting, let's take a call from one of the guys we're going to be bowling against tonight.
Ah, that means we have to go right back into being Pete Moss and Less Human.
Here's Terry. No, we can be ourselves.
Okay, very good.
Hey, Terry.
Hey, guys. Y'all excited about tonight?
Oh, coming down to bowl with all you homos? How's it sound? Does it sound, do our voices sound nice and low over the phone, Terry?
Yeah, they sound pretty low.
Terry, you fag.
I haven't been listening to the show, so I don't know what kind of bit y'all are doing. But
we're doing an old bit we haven't done for over 10 years, Pete Moss and Less Human. But let me just say that to all the gays, everybody, hi, this is Pete Moss, and I'm Less Human. And I'd like to say hi to all the sinners in our audience.
Well, the sinners would like to say hello back.
I remember reading in the Bible, I believe in Psalm 43A. God hates fags.
Well, you know, I think that was right next to the spot where it says that the lottery is possible to win. So.
It's Glenn. Is it Glenn or Terry?
Terry.
It's so nice to have you on the show. Can I ask you something? And this is less human talking. One-on-one to you, Terry.
Just one-on-one, right?
Terry, let me ask you something. After we get done bowling this evening, have you thought about maybe having a chat with your pastor?
What about?
About your lifestyle, son.
Just in general terms?
You know, if he's a Catholic, there's a chance that that's how he got started down this whole path. Was there a wayward priest in your past, Terry?
Well, I got to be honest with you. I grew up in the South, and the Catholics were pretty scarce down there.
So was a Baptist. Yeah, the Baptist with a bad touch.
I was a Presbyterian. We didn't touch each other.
Did a Presbyterian preacher ever offer you a Snickers bar for sex? Do you like like these voices, Terry? We
They're
love
fantastic.
Them.
Fantastic. I'm hoping y'all are going to be talking in these voices tonight.
We could do 4 hours standing on our heads. It would, although, as we discovered, it would drive our listeners crazy.
Right.
We could do it, though.
Hey, if people can listen to G. Gordon Lynn for 3 hours, they can listen to you.
Let me just say, there's a great American. I don't know what those kookalas at 106 were thinking.
He's a hero.
When they canceled him. He's a hero. They canceled his show. I want to tell you, they put on these two potty mouths, and get this, last week, these guys, and please don't be offended, ladies and gentlemen, when I tell you that, they had people eating, eating snot. Mucus. Peter, we're talking about mucus. Sorry, Lester. They were eating their own mucus. And if you think that's funny and if you think that's entertaining, I tell you, you're not the kind of person that's going to come to the less human household. And I think all of you, you homosexuals that listen to the show and enjoy it, I really hope you enjoy G. Gordon Liddy because he has some good things to say. So turn it up down at your temple of sin. Hold on there, Terry. Rob, did you call Dr. Capers? Always an adventure with the good doctor. Is he ready to go on the air with us? He was all booked up till next Thursday until I said we were syndicated.
Oh, very good.
I also said that we were friends with another Westwood show, the Don and Mike show. And he said, based on that, hook it up, honey.
Right,
you get the impression that Rob would stay on microphone for like 15 hours if we let him right now?
I like this. Not like you guys.
Get off the microphone, Rob.
All right, but he's expecting your call.
Terry, we'll see you tonight.
I look forward to it.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, bye, guys.
So long, sinner. Bye, faggot. No, Peter, you got all hot and bothered, didn't you? Bye, freaking sea sucker. Now that's not appropriate. Hey, effer. We're going to have some big fun at Club Wet. Toodaloo, queer. Why do they call it Club Wet? I think because when men go in, they get wet. The wet stuff comes out of their wet things. That's fantastic. Listen, here's the deal. I'm Pete Moss.
And I'm less human.
We have to do a break first?
We should.
But here's the setup now. Listen to this. On our People Around the World, Pete and Les Call the World, here's the segment. A guy from San Diego named Dr. James Capers.
Yeah.
He claims that Princess Diana is alive and living in Austria.
Oh, that's amazing.
Dr. Capers claims that inside sources at an unnamed cloning company replicated Princess Di in 1998. That doesn't surprise me. You know, there are lots of controversies around. So what we're going to do is give him a call now. It's important that he doesn't know it's us.
I understand. I think it's all about content and the way we play this.
Dr. Capers, who I think might also be gay.
Faggot.
Yes. You know, I'm remembering now that when we were Pete Moss and Less Human before, we had a lot of pesky restrictions on the content of this show.
We couldn't say stuff like that, like taking up the A.
Yeah, that was impossible.
Have a nice dirty Sanchez, you queer.
Enjoy the day, queer babe.
Okay, so when we come back, I'm Pete Moss.
I'm Less Human.
Here on your local AM station.
Don't forget, for all our listeners, there's a free Alzheimer's screening down at the local drugstore. Hey, don't forget your appointment.
We will be right back, okay?
What is some type of rejoiner thing here. Some type of what?
And Mike.
Hey-ho. I flopped the nut straight.
Motherfucker! You blew your nut! Motherfucker! That is it!
That's it? What the fuck you talking about? That's it? Take it back, eh?
Yes! No more! No! Not tonight! This son of a bitch all night, he chick! He trapped me!
Well, are you feeling satisfied now, Teddy? Because I can go on busting you up all night.
Nit. He beat me. Straight up. Paid that man his money.
You can call.
call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, baby. There we go.
God damn. Mike Show.
That's uncalled for. We found a Bravo. As you call Dr. Capers, we found a tape of two of the disc jockeys that we're basing this on. These are the guys who we took over for on the Morning Zoo Show, Two Fine Talents, 17 years ago. Charlie and Harrigan, really, really talented fellows. Here they are now.
But we're about your same age. I'm 47. I think Charlie is 50. And they've hired us to do a job here to turn this around and get the adults. And by the way, the ratings show that we really did we're doing a super job of it. But we saw this, we saw this HOV, and I never liked it to begin with. And I think the whole Virginia thing is ludicrous. You can't have a radar detector. Has no one ever fought that?
Oh, there's some great radio. They were fantastic. Lying about their age, of course. I mean, if he's 47, I'm 65. Here we go, Rob.
Pete and Les.
Very good. I've got our theme music ready.
If you hang on 1 second, the next voices you hear will be theirs. Hang on for me, sir.
Here we go. Okay, you ready now? I'm ready, Peter. Come on, Lester, let's do this straight. Rock and roll. And go for it. Well, it's the top of the hour, everybody. And that means we just heard our news headlines. Good afternoon, this is Pete Moss, and I'm Les Human, and as usual, it's time to talk to another fabulous newsmaker on the Pete and Les get-together. Two for the road show on this good-looking Monday, 2 days till hump day, 4 days till your weekend. It's 1 minute past the hour. If you got to be somewhere in an hour, you've got 59 minutes to get there, Pachango. And as we always say on the Pete Moss, Les Human get-together, be happy, make somebody else. Don't forget, we're going to be talking about that Big Five Alarm Chili Cook-Off, our annual Chili Cook-Off. All the details coming up this hour on the P-Boss Les Hewlett Show. This year, we're calling it the Coomentacular. Should be a lot of fun. Joining us now, this is kind of a crazy one. This is from our Way Out There file. Now, you read this, you believe this, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the story about Princess Di. Now, I, like everyone, I tell you, I'm not ashamed to tell you, I shed a tear when I hear Elton John, who is a gay, when I hear him sing the Candle in the Wind song. Well, I know you do, Peter, and I'll tell you that I watched all of the very, very serious funeral coverage as the good lady was dragged through the streets. I don't mean dragged through the streets, but pulled through the streets in the back of the hearse. It was a mighty emotional moment for the rest of the guy. I blame the paparazzi. I do. But that, of course, that's me. Joining us now from San Diego, there's sharks or what they are, is I don't know if he's a medical doctor or if he's a head doctor. He's a seer of some kind. Here's a Dr. James Capers. Hello, doctor.
Well, thank you so much for having me on your show, Mighty One.
Thank you. Actually, it's Mighty Two. I'm Pete Moss, and I'm Les Human. Doctor, it's good to have you on the show.
Oh, thank both of you, Mighty Ones.
And you call us Dr. Mighty Ones. Is there any particular reason for that?
Yes, because immediately when I come into your presence, I feel power.
Wow, that's good news. Now, I understand, Dr. Capers, that you claim that Lady Diana, Lady Di, the first lady of England, England's rose, if you will, that she was cloned, much like that sheep was.
Yes, both absolutely correct. A tissue sample was stolen about 3 years ago, 3 to 4 years ago. The tissue sample was purchased for the amount of $80,000, as insiders have stated, and that a clone of Princess Diana was manufactured off the course seas of China Southeast.
Can I interrupt there just a second here? You're saying she was cloned. Are you saying that this is a new super cloned Diana that we're talking about? Or are we talking about the fact that the Lady Di herself never died?
Yeah, we're saying that the Lady Di herself has expired. Mm-hmm. However, through her DNA structure,
they've made another one.
Scientists have reconstructed Mrs. Diana's DNA and formulated a female child about 3 or 4 years old.
Listen, whether you're pro-abortion or anti-abortion, you'll be wanting to listen to Abortion in My Lifetime, the program starring the lovely Lisa Herndon. That follows this show. Today, on many of these Westwood One stations, I'm Piedmont, and I'm less human, Lisa's topic. Lisa's topic. I have a polyp is what you have. Tell the truth. I've got something in my throat. My apology. It's a polyp. And also, let me get in this program reminder. Marijuana, should it be legalized or not? Joe Ardinger will tackle that topic tonight on Ardinger All Night Long here on the Westwood One Radio Network. Hi, everybody. I'm Pete Moss. And I'm Les Human. Those are two fantastic programs. And, of course, Monday night is Should I Night on the Westwood Network. So Lisa's topic will be, should I keep it? And Joe's, of course, should I or not, I smoke it. It's 5 minutes past the hour, bing bong. Five past the hour, 5 past 2 on the east, it's 5 past 11. If you're on the west coast, in between, look at your own watch. Wow! We're joined by Dr. James Capers. Now listen, James, if we could talk to you for a second about something unrelated to Lady Di.
Of course.
There are two young broadcasters who work out of the same building we do. They don't do our kind of show. They do a different show. They call it trailblazing. We call it filthy. Now, Doctor, these gentlemen are named Donald and Michael, Don and Mike, and they've done a show, and frankly, when they heard that we were going to call you, when our producer called you, their producer came down the hall, obscenity after obscenity. Say, so you're stealing our bit. You're stealing our bit. I don't understand that. Have you ever been on? Let me ask you first. Have you ever been on that filth show?
Well, I want you to know that I dated Don personally for 2 years. He was my sexual lover.
He was.
And Mike joined us in a triage one time.
Yeah, man, let me just say right here, that's not, I know it might be funny to you, Doctor, that's but not, that's not kind funny. Of blue talk that we don't encourage here on the Pete Moss List.
That's exactly what
we don't like about their show. I think it's disgusting. You were talking, alluding to some sort of homosexual activity. And
we just got together and blew up blues and threw them at traffic.
Here's the thing, Doc. I think we got a real fruitcake. There's no wonder that he's been on that show with those potty mouths. I want to say that that's not the kind of radio we do, and if you're associated with that show in any way, perhaps we should simply part as friends.
Have to part as friends because I love Don and Mike. They're my heroes.
Well, I'm sorry that this interview cannot continue. No, we find them to be reprehensible, inscrutable. And furthermore, we've been in contact with the powers at Westwood One. Yeah, to have that show replaced.
Well, I have something to tell you.
Yes.
Insiders tell me that Don and Mike are not only going to be fantastic and go forward, but my sources tell me that HBO is going to be doing a special on them.
Well, if that's going to happen, I tell you, the world has just opened up a big crack in the Earth's surface, and it's going to swallow us all up, because that show is the kind of filth, the kind of garbage, that I think if people like it, there's something wrong with them. I mean, psychologically wrong with them. That's why we don't have the cable in the Pete Moss family home. I'll tell you the channels I get in my home.
Okay.
4, 5, 7, 9. And frankly, the 5, the Fox. Yeah, I can do without that. That's pretty loose stuff. I don't need the nasty cartoon. I watched, it's funny you bring that up, Pete. I watched a program the other evening, and let me tell you something. I watched the kind of filth that I can't believe it's on network television. Well, they call themselves a network. It was this show, Boofy the Vampire Slayer. And I want to tell you something. I was almost sick to my stomach when I got done watching that show. It's a young girl, she appears to be in middle school, chasing around these monsters, very scantily clad. Please, if you're making a note, avoid it.
Boofy. Yeah, you're right. She's anal retainer.
We don't need that kind of talk, Doctor. For Dracula the Vampire
Slayer. The Vampire Slayer? Yeah, I don't like her.
Doctor,
she can't slay me.
In fact, are you one of these carnies, or do you have proof that Lady Di has been cloned? If that's the answer, 9 minutes past the hour, 51 minutes before the hour, this is P-Boss. I'm assuming we're talking with Dr. James Capers. Wow. Hello?
Yes.
Are you, in fact, a carny, or are you on the level?
I am 100% on the level. Matter of fact, gentlemen, I personally flew to Hong Kong to break the first story, and recently I just returned from Beijing, China, on the second story.
Do you worship the devil?
Of course not.
Do you believe in God?
Of course I do.
Are you a Republican?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. Do you believe that God hates the gay man?
Well, I believe that God hates all kind of sin.
And for years, don't do that. It's a sin.
Yes, it is. Don't touch it. Don't whack it.
Oh, hey, come on. Come on, pal. You know, you're sounding more and more like the Filthy Show that we really don't. We all want to be aligned with. Less humans getting angry. I'm going to tell you that right now, Peter.
You know what I'm picking up?
What's that?
I'm picking up that both of you have some extraterrestrial genes, DNA, in both of you.
Hey, now don't talk. I know what DNA is. DNA is sperm. Do you oppose the Chinese?
Well, no, I love the Chinese. I think they have wonderful silk. Who wouldn't want to wear China silk?
What about the Japanese? I certainly wouldn't. I think you'd be prancing around like some sort of queen. The Japanese. How do you feel about the Japanese?
Well, the Japanese are wonderful, but when you go to Japan and Tokyo, who wants to pay $150
for breakfast? Hold it. Well, you just said, what's the problem, Lance? The problem is, Peter, the problem that we've had on this show many times before when the doctor brought up the fact that the Japanese are wonderful. The Japanese weren't wonderful when I was on a troop ship heading to Tulagi, and then when I was at Guadalcanal firing my carbine at them. The Japanese weren't wonderful when I was in my foxhole. I'll tell you when they were wonderful, just because you were in the European theater.
Well, I guess we all have experienced some bad things, but I want you to know, if other than having Hitler DNA'd up and cloned, don't you think so?
My friend Pete Moss right here fought Adolf Hitler. I fought him. I was there, sir. I was going into the bunker, right, as he was eating his cyanide with his evil whore girlfriend, Eva Braun. You got a certified war hero. I was
wonderful,
there.
Wonderful.
I was there. I fought the Axis powers. Wow.
You actually fought Adolf Hitler. That's wonderful.
Well, not one-on-one, but
they don't find his DNA and clone
I don't
the
think
Hitler.
He's taking
we
this
call
serious.
Him the short Listen, mustache.
I want to tell you something. You have two veterans here of many, 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 many of America's battles. And I know you're modest, Pete, but let me say one of those veterans who is a Silver Star winner right here for that time that you fell on that grenade.
Oh,
it was only
so
to save
I'm
your
so
life.
I'm honored.
You know, we got this chatty guy here. I don't think he appreciates the magnitude.
You know, as a matter of fact, I want to tell you something right now. I think this guy, incidentally, Bing Bong, it's 13 past the hour. This is Pete Moss, and I'm less human.
I think this guy is an out-and-out nut job. Wow. And I don't know who booked him on the show. Robert, did you book him? Or, Robert, never mind. Just get him off my phone right now. That's it. Put him on hold. Get him off the phone. Excuse me, I slipped the tongue. I said warhorse.
Then we can call him back in a minute and say that it's us.
Yes, and use our regular voices.
Steve and Les are very upset.
Thanks for fighting the war.
They feel
Thank you for fighting the war, Silver Star winner. In the European theater. Purple Heart winner. Amputee.
But thank you and good day to you.
You know what I lost? My entire right leg. But you know that I was there shoving it down that gook's throat as soon as he cut that leg off. I said, eat this. There you go, and I tell you, I still have my prosthesis, and it's still wooden, made out of wood.
He didn't think it went badly at all.
Pine.
He thought it went well.
I have a pine leg.
Pine?
Yeah, my leg is made out of pine, Robert.
It's a soft wood.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to go to Buzz now, and we're going to come back. And then we're going to call Dr. Capers.
There you go.
Okay.
Lisa will make the call this time. I've got a question, Peter.
Yeah, Les.
Can Pete and Les hang out during the news? Is that possible? And maybe comment on the issues of the day? Since we haven't done it in a while. I don't know if our listeners are for this or against this. I guess the only way to find that out. Because, you know, this is like the bit that we did with Elvis, something that our audience unanimously hated, yet we loved doing. Well, if they don't like it, I can understand we'd have to move on to something else.
In a world where owning a radio
is
forbidden,
please.
One man found a way.
Wow.
Good news to his people.
Buzz.
He made it up.
This is time for the news and comments. While we're getting the tease from Buzz, call us and tell us, well, first off, we will have to turn it off so we can call Dr. Capers as ourselves. This is true, and we're going to have to get the news from a man who's older than we are. But we need you to call us now on the instant the phone thing here and tell us if this is annoying the hell out of you. Yeah, well, let us know, please. I'll tell you, if you don't like it, I feel that I'm going to start to cramp up. Right, let's take a call. Hi, do you like, should we continue this or stop this?
You need to stop it.
All right, see, I told you, Mike, listeners, they feel very strongly about this. Okay, toodaloo ass. Hello, Don and Mike, turn down your radio, please, you dumbass.
Oh, come on, guys. Hey, please don't do it during the news. I look forward for the news.
I look forward for the news.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, toodaloo ass. I look forward for the news. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Should we continue it or keep it going? Or stop it?
Oh, it's killing me.
It's killing you. Hello, Donna Mike.
Hi, guys.
Hi, honey.
Please stop. It was fun for a while, but it's starting to get annoying.
Oh, F you. Oh, you filthy C. How dare you? How dare you? Is there not one vote of support for us out there? My God. Wow. Hello, Donna Mike.
Yeah, guys. It's too much like lunchtime with Pazuzu.
Lunchtime with Pazuzu? What are you
from
talking
The Exorcist.
About? From The Exorcist. Oh, yeah. Your mother sold socks in hell. Yeah, okay. Way to go, dumbass. Hello, Donna Mitchell. Hello. Speak to us while I think the masses are speaking. Shall we continue this?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
I'm not asking you, Rollin. That's the guy on the phone.
Hell yeah.
All right. Now, why would that be?
The buzz, though.
Why would that be, sir?
Well, you know, it's entertaining. Yeah. You guys are radio geniuses.
Thanks. Hi, Donna Mitchell.
Hey, Don Mike, keep doing this all week long. This is tight.
Yeah, you're doing it all week long. Jesus Christ, fantastic. Oh, you know, I think we're going to turn it off, Mike.
I'm going to send you a card and smokes because of this.
I think, Rob, turn it off. Let's say goodbye now, Pete Les. Bye.
Pete Les. All right, there we go.
They'll come back another time.
Very good.
Very good.
Another time. And plus, now we can call Dr. Capers.
Yeah.
And we can,
I think we need to tweak up our little harmonizer thing.
We can call Dr. Capers and say, hey, we understand those two old farts called you up to be on their show.
Even though Dr. Capers knew it was us all the way along.
You think he did?
Oh, of course he did.
I think so.
I don't
either.
He would have said something, I think, when we got him off the air.
You want to put some money on it?
But there's no way to really prove it because Dr. Capers will never come clean.
I got $20. If we call him up and we say, we understand you were just on with Pete and Les, don't you think he'll say something like...
No. If we're proving the bet that way, he won't do that. But, I mean, he was, you know, he was already indicating that, you know, with the laughter and everything else that
but
he knew.
But that's just the way he is, though.
See, he also says he's not gay. So, you know, how do you know what to believe?
That's the queer duality.
Yeah, he knew something was going on.
I don't think he knew it was us. I'm willing to...
I don't know whether it's us. He knew something was going on. And I'm pretty sure he knew it was us.
Okay, do you want to bet on that?
How do we prove it?
We'll call him up right now.
You call him and say, did you know that was Don Mike? And he said, yes, I do.
I'll give you $20.
All right.
And if he says no, you give me $20.
I don't have $20. My wallet is empty. I spent it on my Pizzoni.
You're good for it.
Okay, I'm good for it.
Buzz, what's the lead today?
Today, the question, is Osama dead or alive?
Oh.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Wow. That was very...
professional.
All right, you get him online?
Dr. Capers? Hi, it's Rob. Can you go on the air with us one more time?
Well, you just blew it. You just said us.
Can you come on the air with Susan Less right now?
And one more time.
Just need you for a minute.
Listen, we'll just find out.
All right, hold on.
Get him on the air.
Yeah. He's ready.
Hey, Doc.
Yes.
Okay, now be honest with me, okay?
Yes.
No kidding.
Okay.
Those guys, you're on with Don and Mike now.
Don and Mike! Oh, bust my britches and cut up my credit cards. It's the Don and Mike show. Oh, you got.
Those guys that just called you, they are losers, are they not?
Oh, well, Darth Vader and Yoda, what do you expect?
Should we just ask him?
Any way you want.
All right. Did you know that was us? Yes
did
or no?
I know that was you, too?
Did you know?
Me, that was you, too?
Come on, just give me a straight answer. Did you know it was us or not?
Well, I didn't know. You had me fooled.
Ah.
You owe me 20.
No, I don't. He's not telling the truth. He's telling the truth.
I didn't know it was you, but when I heard your name, Don and Mike, I said, my goodness gracious, and these people are talking about my best people on the radio, I had to stand up for you. I couldn't allow anyone to talk
negative. Nobody knows what the final answer is here. Too much
Mike
duality.
Fresh.
This is Mr. Duality right here.
Captain Duality. Listen, did you or did you not know that that was us? Yes or no?
You just don't want to pay the $20.
All right, goodbye. Goodbye, Doc.
Okay, see you later.
See ya. Right, it's a push. I mean, it's
total push.
I thought
that was why, you know, when you wanted to make the bet, I'm like, well, you call Dr. Capers, you are incapable of getting a straight answer. And I mean, I emphasize straight answer.
Straight answer.
75-foot butterfly net.
He wouldn't. I would. You know what? We could spend an hour on the phone, like, grilling him. No, what is the real answer? And he would
never get it.
What he did.
We'll be back with the news and the comments coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
They love to wear it out. Don and Mike.
They wore out that Pete Moss Less Human thing.
You're not happy with that?
No, I'm happy with it.
Sure. You just don't think the listeners are, huh?
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the difference between the me of 10 years ago and the me of today.
Yes.
That today, well, good for you, the listeners. I actually kind of give a crap what you guys think now.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean Pete and Les are dead.
Right.
No, they'll make a comeback on the show.
Very right. Good. Good.
Here now is their younger friend, Buzz Burbank. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Was Osama bin Laden killed by an American remote control missile last week?
No.
U.S. military personnel say they found forensic evidence that will answer that question. They're trying to identify a mystery man, a very tall man who stood in the middle of a group of Al-Qaeda officials as they were hit by an American missile last Monday.
The bombs are flying!
Buzz, how would we have Osama bin Laden's DNA to compare it to?
Glad you asked. It was supplied to us by his family. As a matter of fact.
Really?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because he's got, like, brothers who go to school here, right?
That's right. That's right. Now, U.S. officials are going to compare the DNA found in the rubble to that provided to us by his family. But in Washington, as you indicated, Don, two members of the Senate Intelligence Committee say they believe bin Laden is still alive. They just don't know exactly where he is. The first court date for the three men accused in the kidnapping of an American reporter has been pushed back a day. The three men accused of being part of the abduction of Wall Street Journal reporter Daniel Pearl will face the court tomorrow instead of today because of paperwork problems. The trio was arrested last week for sending the emails that featured pictures of the reporter in captivity.
You ever find out if that dude's dead or alive?
They believe that he's still alive, but we don't know for sure. Much the same as bin Laden.
Tough part of the world to find out anything, I guess.
Amen to that. They say they got the pictures from a key suspect in the case, Islamic militant Omar Saeed. That's the man we're still trying to find. We find him, we find the reporter in all likelihood. Being dead could be hard on your health. Consider the case of a woman who awoke in New York over the weekend as she was being placed in a body bag at the medical examiner's office. Frances Foster was found Saturday on her bathroom floor. That's when the paramedics declared her dead. Turns out, she was still alive, but she'd had a stroke.
She opened her
eyes.
Did they find
her on the fourth floor of the Union Station parking garage?
Oh, poor you.
With a hole drilled in her right side.
There you go.
She opened her eyes.
How you doing?
She opened her eyes as they were sliding her into the body bag. So they took her to the hospital where she remained in critical condition. Now officials say she's dead, really dead. Gone for sure this time. No longer with us. Expired.
Gone, no longer.
The aforementioned paramedics have been placed on desk duty pending the investigation. They've figured out the mystery illness.
Here's the tape of when they were working on her.
Oh,
figuring out she was dead or alive. You're the paramedics right here.
Now, Charlie, how does it go?
I remember Joe. Righty, tighty, lefty, loosey.
Still they don't know. Uh-oh. They're going to find out she's dead in a moment.
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Dead.
Knocking her teeth out.
Now he's going to the hole. They figured out the mystery illness that killed a woman at a convention in New Jersey and made other people sick. It was contagious meningitis.
It wasn't room service?
No, it wasn't. Nor in Legionnaire's disease or anything else. Of the 500 other people at the mortgage company convention in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, 7 others got sick and 73 others went in for observation.
What was it again that killed her?
Contagious meningitis.
Lisa, you are on the air.
Health officials say the woman may have brought the disease to the meetings. She ultimately checked into a hospital with fever, headache, vomiting, and shortness of breath. Convention goers who came in close contact with the woman were given antibiotics.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. It's not just some airport security workers who are here illegally. It's also some of the pilots in Miami. 7 airline pilots and 2 ramp workers are charged with having fake immigration papers.
Wonderful. Hello. Welcome to this flight from Miami to Los Angeles. This is your pilot, Mr. John Smith.
Hello.
Wait a minute.
Hello, I'm Harry Tasker.
Now, all of these pilots and the ramp workers are from Venezuela, and the charges have almost nothing to do with September 11th.
Hello, this is John Smith. Welcome to your flight. We would like to say hello to special first class customers, Pete Moss and Les Humed.
Very good. My co-pilot is Roger Cooper. He is also from Venezuela.
The pilots worked for American Eagle, Express.net, and Executive Jet Aviation.
Bueno.
The banker from Uruguay who disrupted a flight to Argentina last week may have been having a panic attack. A psychiatrist who was on that flight and who later treated Pablo Morera says the man had a mental breakdown, that he was in a state of shock, and that he didn't even know his name at the time.
And I think all psychiatrists know that when you're having a panic attack, the best way to deal with it is to give everybody else around you a panic attack.
Exactly.
Well, it worked for you.
His sister said he had been a little depressed lately. Morera is accused of trying to break into the cockpit, and he was, as you recall, subdued by a co-pilot and some passengers.
Was that the guy who got it in the head of the axe?
Exactly.
That's right.
The same guy.
Love that.
Of the folks who brought...
I love the fact that the co-pilot got him in the head of the axe.
But it was the butt end, right? Not the sharp end.
We all do. Yeah, the back end of the axe.
Too bad.
His head didn't split clean open.
I wanted to see a Lizzie Borden.
The folks who brought us the This Is Your Brain on Drugs commercials are now going after ecstasy. The Partnership for a Drug-Free America says the use of the drug is skyrocketing, and it hopes to turn around that trend.
I bet we won't see much of that where we're going tonight.
The group says ecstasy use is up 71% in the past 3 years, even while other drug use has dropped or at least leveled off.
Hey, man, it's a rave, okay? It's just a hang.
Just a hang. The group says X has been marketed as a low-risk, high-benefit drug when it's really not, when it's really a drug that can cause severe brain damage.
You're full of crap.
And the group says ecstasy is part speed and part LSD, and that some users can, therefore, get addicted to it.
That means you can see the colors in a hurry.
Let me ask this man. Have you had any problems with ecstasy?
Uh-huh.
I didn't think so. Tom? Buzz?
Yes.
Buzz?
Uh-huh.
Hi. Hold on a second. Okay. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Come shizzle on their nizzle. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, dial recklessly. 877-365-3636. Call 100.
All right, so listen. We can deal with it.
He didn't like Pete Les.
You've spoken in a very loud voice about Pete Moss and Les.
You know what?
We get the message.
So it was, a half hour of the show today?
Yeah.
BFD.
We apologize.
We think that we've come up with a better way to use the harmonizer.
Ah.
And we'll have to work on getting the voices down right.
Yeah, but it's basically going to be two guys that have had their voice boxes removed. You know, like the guy you'll see occasionally, you know, right. With the little machine that he puts up to his throat?
Yeah.
That's going to be that.
Tomorrow is going to be the debut of Cancer Corner.
Very good. Yes.
We're going to have to come up with the names, but we can...
Two men, two disc jockeys that continue to do their show, even though they've had their voice boxes removed.
Wow.
Call us and let us know what you think.
We think
really that's what you're looking for.
We think it's a way to utilize the harmonizer in a way that you, our listeners, will find
all I know is
more
one
acceptable than Pete and Les.
And, you know, I'm not proud of these ideas, but I will tell you this. All I know is one of the disc jockeys' names should be Smokey.
And I'm Joe Campbell.
And I'm Smokey something. I'll come up with the last name. Huh?
Smoky Papers.
Why do people treat us different? Why do they run away? Just because we talk with this device. Okay?
We'd like to take away the stigma of not having a voice box. We look forward to it. I think we're going to get instant feedback on that right away. I think there's probably people laughing already about that.
Okay. Listen, it's not the first time we've done a bit that sucks. And frankly, when we used to do Pete and Les...
Right.
As I recall, as I was telling like during the break, people would call us and tell us they didn't like what we did before.
Yeah, it's not like this is anything new.
It's just our guilty pleasure.
But, you know, we have this new toy, and it's up to us to figure out ways to utilize it.
So that's it. Tomorrow, we'll debut the Cancer Corner. Write the names down.
With Joe Campbell, and I'm going to reserve the last name of Smokey. I want a better name. Smokey Summers or something like that. I want...
What we'll do is the same setup. We'll just call people out of the news.
Right.
Why is it that we cannot be treated with the same dignity as those?
Yeah. Why do they turn their backs on us and run? We're not second-class citizens.
And we can actually light up during the show.
Sure.
Let me put in my hole.
Very good.
Welcome to Cancer Corner.
Yeah, and if anybody comes down on us, we'll say it's kind of an anti-smoking thing.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's
PSA.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Long back. Put it in the public file.
And thank you.
Why is there a stigma? Light up.
They laugh at Domino's when I call to order. Hello. I'd like a pie with extra cheese, please.
This is Joseph Campbell.
And this is this is Smoky Nicotine.
It'll be better with a harmonizer, trust me, okay?
Sure.
So we had one tonight. It wasn't the funniest bit we've ever done.
Well, moment in time. And imagine if you do get somebody like on one of our stories to call, and they believe it. Imagine how gingerly they'll tread.
Sure. Anyway, hi there, Buzz. Because what it says from John is, John sent me an instant message here. It says, you don't want to see the instant feedback.
Right.
I've never seen feedback like this in 3 years of working here.
Wow.
So, okay. All right, we got you.
Impressive. Yeah, man. Thank you, John.
And this comes from a loyal listener in Sterling, Virginia, Don and Mike. As with Madden and Summerall, the game has passed. Pete and Les Bond.
Well, you know what? We got calls like that many moons ago also.
Please be brave and let them rest in peace. The difference is that this time we'll listen to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to go with the Cancer Corner on tomorrow's episode.
Excellent.
There you go. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Actually, I might have a different name. What's your name going to be on the show?
Joseph Campbell.
And I don't. This isn't even related. It just makes me laugh. I might be Jack Cassidy. And I know it has nothing to do with it. See? It works, doesn't it?
JC show.
Yeah.
I'm Joseph Campbell.
And I'm Jack Cassidy.
Perfect.
I'm Jack Cassidy. You know, I don't know.
I've smoked for 50 years.
And I've smoked for 53. three more years longer. Now I put it in the hole. I actually put my cigarette in my thigh.
Buzz, you just got to go to your kicker. We're running so late today.
Okay, thanks, Joe and Jack. Finally, the dress code at a high school in Hawaii was targeted for its ban on clothing that promotes Satanism. The school allows piercings, dyed hair, and since it is Hawaii, bare midriffs, but it banned gang-related clothing or any clothing that promotes alcohol, tobacco, profanity, or Satanism. Civil rights groups say Satanism's a religion and that to ban it is unconstitutional.
That said, the school is now dropping its ban on pentagrams and the like. Quoting one 10th grader, if people are allowed to wear bracelets that say, what would Jesus do, then they should be allowed to say, what would Satan do?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
All right, that's it. Boy, we're running so late, we got to go.
Wow.
Please keep in mind, everybody, that tonight we're going to get wet as we pay off our homo bowling bet.
Better get there for our window.
Tonight at Club Wet on Half Street in D.C. We'll be there from 8 o'clock till 8:29.
Very good.
Tonight, the whole Wacky Gutterball crew will be there if you can't make it down.
And then, Don, after that, I just wanted to point out I can be found in bars all over the D.C. area.
I want you, if you can't make it down, understood. We will have a taped replay on tomorrow's show for you. Time now for a call number 100. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Right, and what's your name, my friend?
This is Wayne from goddamn Salt Lake.
From goddamn Salt Lake City. Beautiful. You won the Super Troopers prize pack. Don't miss the movie Super Troopers, the hilarious new film about cops, crime, and killing time in theaters on February 15th. It's their highway. You're just driving on it. Thank you for listening, my friend.
Excellent.
Salt Lake City. Checking in today.
I'm looking forward to tomorrow's show already, though.
Let me ask him, did you hate that Pete Moss and Les Humor thing? Are you there?
Caller.
What was that?
Did you hate that thing we did with the harmonizer?
I loved it.
Oh.
I'm down with the harmonizer.
There you go.
All right, gotcha.
And we'll have more fun with it tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be better tomorrow with the cancer corner.
Yes, it will.
All right, that's it. good day to you, sir.
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 Hey, Rob?
Can you? I can't.
No, you can't.
Not everyone at Union Station.
Throw it in the air like Sydney. Tyler Moore. You might just make
see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Can we meet again? Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.